nation cussing and it is cussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Six here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by God, Virginia. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network, headonradionetwork.com. A little something we like to call conversation radio. You're not likely to find it many other places. We are listener supported. It is through your kindness and your determination to have freewheeling, liberal, progressive conversation. It is strictly through that determination that this effort is moving into its eighth year. And you are to be congratulated as the old year winds down. Now, of course, we have found ourselves at I played birthday hooky for Ferg on Monday, but we had a magnificent show yesterday. Wonderful conversations. Welcome Angela to the conversation that is ongoing. First time caller last night, who I might add got fan mail. See what happens? I mean, this is great. Do you realize that the callers to this show get more fan mail than I do? I personally think that's really, really cool because it sort of speaks to the way it speaks to the mission here. Our good buddy Dr. John in New York wrote in last night. Bob, I was grooving on Angelo from the Bronx's call last night. He's on top of the issues and well read, and I hope he becomes a regular. See? The callers get the fan mail. Beautiful, isn't it? I was reading a bit about Ron Paul last night, John says, and I got to thinking about the titles of the newsletter he put out. Think about it. There's Ron Paul's Freedom Report, the Ron Paul Survival Report, which we now understand, I'm adding editorially, meant that it was a report about Ron Paul's continuing survival by way of lots of contributions that added up to $1 million or so, but the Ron Paul Survival Report, your contributions, continue Ron Paul's survival. Silver dimes, send us silver dimes. The Ron Paul Political Report and the Ron Paul Investment Letter. John says, based on those titles, what's his vision of America? A decayed, winner-take-all nation where he with the most guns and gold wins? Now, there's a place, John says, tongue firmly in cheek. Now, there's a place I want to call home. And ain't it the truth? Absolutely. It is, well, and I should note also a different member of the fraternity of John. John wrote in, a couple of nights ago, while I was playing hooky, actually. He said, I'm so grateful for the horn and want to express that in a tangible way. I'm watching right now Cave of Forgotten Dreams and probably wouldn't have known about it without the report from the Minister of Culture, David Fermain. David Fermain just got a promotion. And I think it's appropriate. Yes, David Fermain is henceforth Minister of Culture. John says, thanks for all you do. and wishing you and your family and our Horn family a happy new year. And so John closes with a challenge, saying that he is willing to contribute $100 to meet December's December's needs and goals, and would hope that maybe 10 other folks would pony up $10 apiece to match it. So that's the challenge from John, who wishes the Horn family a happy new year, and gave a promotion to David from Maine, who is now Minister of Culture. Thank you very, very kindly, John, sincerely. And it's you know, it's those manifestations of, you know, letting me know so I can let the rest of the Horn family know that this is all going in the direction it's supposed to be going. That's so important. In addition to the fundraising, I did a little calculation, seeing as how we've got the 28th, 29th. Yeah, the 28th. This is the 28th Wednesday, 29th. Yeah, we got 3 days to finish out December's fundraising, and we are right at $780. $780 shy of the monthly goal. That's 78 folks at $10 apiece. So if you'd like to put that in the collection plate as it goes around, because this is, after all, prayer meeting Wednesday, put that in the collection plate as it goes around, it would make things, well, it would make things, considering November ended in a hole, October ended in a hole, it would take a little bit of pressure off as we enter the new year. But thank you very much, John, and thank you everyone who has contributed, and thanks to anyone who answers John's challenge to meet that $100. It is, like I said, prayer meeting Wednesday here, not just the middle of the week, not just downhill to Friday. No, no, no. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, so naturally we have to run our we have to go with the offertory hymn, and we'll ask the Minister of Music to come forward at this moment so that we can begin prayer meeting Wednesday right and proper. While the choir is singing. While the choir is singing, we'll get the deacons in out of the parking lot where they're out there smoking with the sinners. Mr. Minister of Music, if you would, please, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang, I love you. Welcome to the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sisters. Come on down that blood-red island. Fall on your knees in front of the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer. Feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. I am ultimate imam, arch pope, uber rabbi, animated animist, agnostic agonist Bob Kincaid. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense. It is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Hallelujah, glory, and we are gonna do. Oh, we are gonna get in the spirit this evening. Oh, I guarantee it, brethren and sisters, because we've got beautiful stories here. Oh, healings, brethren and sisters, healings is what we've got on hand. Oh, yes, we do. Todd Bentley and Rick Joyner of the New Apostolic Reformation. Yes, indeedy, we've got them right here discussing the healing power of the Almighty. And you'd be surprised how the healings take place. We got two healings for you tonight, brethren and sistren. Two healings. Count them. Two. Two. Two healings in one, just like the old Sertz commercial. That's right. And really it's three healings, because you see, you got to understand that, well, Todd Bentley had a healing too. Todd Bentley was a member, he was a good fundamentalist, evangelical, until it came out that he'd been a romping, as we say here in the hills and hollers. He'd been a romping into beds that wasn't his own, nor his wife's. Got busted in an extramarital affair. That's when he joined Rick Joyner's Morning Star Ministries. Hallelujah, glory. He's been restored and redefined. And he is, he is working for the Lord. Todd Bentley has testifying about how he talks with Jesus and talks with angels in his dreams. He said the Holy Spirit done ordered him to kick a woman in the face with his boot and to take a woman's legs and bang them up and down on the platform like a baseball bat. That's how he does his healings. But don't rely on me. Listen to them. Amen and amen.
He didn't come for the service. He was at the hotel here.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard me give this word. Yeah. I'm going to pray for anybody that has cancer right now. And I didn't realize he was in a truck accident. He broke his sternum, and he had several broken ribs. The Lord didn't tell me this. I knew I was going to pray for somebody who was going to be healed of cancer. We were going to bind the strong man. This man's healing would be the first sign of a brand new anointing over death and infirmity and cancer. That's what the Lord told me. So when he finally came up onto the platform and I was going to go pray for him, the Lord spoke to me, and I know it was the Lord, and it's got to be the Lord. You only do this when it's the Lord.
Don't try this at home unless it's the Lord.
The Lord. there's got to be a don't try this at home. The Lord told me, and remember, I didn't know he had a broken sternum or broken ribs. The Lord said, I want you to punch him in the sternum as hard as you can. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, restoration, Rick's here, my first service, God, you want me to punch this guy? And it just didn't make sense to me.
Knock him out, John!
You know, he lost over 40 pounds. So anyways, I punched him in that broken sternum, and he...
He what? Oh, tell us, brother. He collapsed on the spot because you'd punched him where he'd had his sternum broke?
He ended up on the ground.
Well, not surprising. You punch a guy with a broken sternum in the sternum. But there's got to be more to it than this. And, you know, don't punch anybody in the sternum unless Jesus tells you to. The only problem with that little field manual there is, how do you know when it's Jesus and how do you know when it's your own psychosis? That's really the key to the whole healing program, isn't it?
And just vibrating under the power of God, he gets up and immediately you can see a change in his face, in his countenance.
Well, I reckon... Done been punched in the sternum.
And long story short, he was totally healed of cancer. The broken sternum was healed. The ribs were healed.
Instantly.
But this is a little bit like the ancient Greek deus ex machina, isn't it? Because there's no proof. No empirical data. It's another case of one of them cancers that God's all the time healing. There's that Almighty out there healing all them cancers, but has yet to grow back so much as the last knuckle of a little finger. God knows he ain't grown no shin bones down from the knee. Can't grow an arm back on. But all them creepy little cancers out there, healing them all the time. Just all the time. But you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be so skeptical. Because, there's another ministry out there, Cindy and Mike Jacobs. They got a program called God Knows. And on one of these programs, they were all talking about how what it's like to be filled with power of the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Amen, brother and sister. And Cindy Jacobs, well, she had some special powerful filling, I guess. I mean, you talk about filling. I mean, we're not talking about beans here.
I remember when we were in Hammett, California, and you prayed for a lady. Now, this lady had had a full hysterectomy.
Yeah, I didn't lay hands on her. I was just like now operating, just like I'm doing over television, giving what we call words of knowledge. Yeah. I said, there's somebody being healed.
Just words of knowledge. I wasn't laying hands on anybody. As you know, it's just like what we do.
This is one of those moments where you realize the failings of radio, because the little hands going back and forth, the little mojo going on.
Giving what we call words of knowledge. Yeah. I said, there's somebody being healed of barrenness.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, if you've had a full hysterectomy, believe me, you're barren.
All the parts taken.
Yeah, because, you know, that's what I need, an evangelical fundamentalist guy to tell me, if you've had a hysterectomy, believe me, you're barren. The ironic sense of comedy is lost on these people, I suppose.
I mean, complete.
Yeah, no hope.
And
yeah.
Now, what I don't recall, and remind the viewers...
Now, remember... Elizabeth in the first chapter of Luke, she was well stricken in years, I think the King James Version says, and she was barren, and an angel of the Lord come to her and zapped her husband's mouth shut and said that you don't have a baby. And they only unzipped the daddy's mouth when he could go out of praising God after little John the Baptist had been born. She was a cousin of Mary. Which is kind of interesting, because there's Elizabeth, who is well stricken in years and barren, and yet she's the cousin of Mary, who was a teenage little girl, because that's what the word means when it doesn't mean virgin who has, it doesn't mean female who hasn't had sex, it means young girl. But nonetheless, they was cousins. And then Sarai, wife of Abram, was barren, and long comes Isaac. So, you know, there's a history of God intervening with barrenness right here, and you know what, Cindy and Mike Jacobs, they're just carrying on the tradition.
Was this woman believing for a child, or did she ever testify that what it was? Because what happened is she went to the doctor because she was feeling odd, and she said, I think I'm pregnant. And the guy says, obviously, he's the doctor who performed the operation, and he knew he'd taken out all of her parts. He said, you know, look,
you couldn't be,
there's no way that
I
you can be pregnant.
I did your surgery. Yeah,
yeah, I'm the one who did it. I know you don't have the part.
Yeah, you cannot be pregnant.
But what happened when he examined her?
Well, she was pregnant.
Yeah, and how could she?
Where was she going? Where was the fetus going to gestate? Was she going to keep it in a box? You've either got a uterus or you ain't got a uterus. There's no middle ground on this. But wait, there's an explanation.
Possibly be pregnant.
Because God is a creator.
Completely replaced.
Completely replaced.
Wow.
You know, everything. And she had a child.
And we know this how? Because a couple of babbling hucksters on the TV box say, where's the woman? I want to see that woman. I want to see the guy, and I want to see the cancer diagnosis. Because as many years ago, when I was a young wannabe archaeologist out in the field in the wilds of West Tennessee, one of the pros there beat a friend, well, didn't beat it, but it firmly impressed upon me an important phrase. And that phrase was this: no provenance, no damn data. Now, in that context, it means if you don't know where the thing that you dug up came from, exactly in the dirt, if you don't know what your latitude and your longitude and your depth in the dirt was and the things that it was associated with in the little pit, then you don't have any provenance. And absent provenance, you don't have data. Well, it kind of applies to getting on the TV box and claiming that you personally caused the creator of the universe to regenerate an entire womb set, you know, ovaries, fallopian tubes, uterus, the works. When you don't present any data,
well, no, that Bob, you see, that's the thing. It's religion, and you have to take it on faith.
And I'm sorry, I can't do that. Oh, it goes on and on and on. on and on and on. And I know some of you are sick of this, but we have wondered and wondered and wondered and wondered what it is. And, you know, we remarked on it last night. If it weren't for the fact that he goes around flogging his religion, like some sort of borrowed mule, Tim Tebow would just be another third-rate quarterback with a terrible throwing motion who would never get past third string, right? Well, thank heaven for the Faith and Freedom Program of Liberty Council. Yes. Because now we can understand why it is that people like me and Sandra and my head writer, David from Tennessee, quote-unquote, hate Tim Tebow. I don't hate Tim Tebow. I feel kind of sorry for Tim Tebow. But apparently, it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that when he goes to throw the football, it looks like he's serving a volleyball, you know, slapping the laces, and away it goes. Oh, no. It has nothing to do with the fact that, the writer in the blog post last night pointed out, that he probably couldn't hit Jesus on a crossing route 15 yards away. Oh, no. You know what? Well, Brother Barber, Matt Barber here, has the explanation for us. Yes.
Is proud to acknowledge that he is saving...
Well, wait, we missed a word. Here we go.
Tim Tebow is proud to acknowledge that he is saving himself, respecting God's design for human sexuality between a man and a woman within the bonds of marriage. So that is, he also is an advocate for purity. This young, good-looking, strapping, athletic man, young man.
Okay, can we have a little Dr. Freud moment? Isn't that just a few too many adjectives for an ordinary conversation about of one guy talking about another guy?
He also is an advocate for purity. This young, good-looking, strapping, athletic man.
This young, good-looking, strapping, athletic man. Whoa! Too many adjectives for a straight guy. Just say.
Young man.
And notice the little hitch, the little verbal hitch there after man.
Good-looking, strapping, athletic man. Young man.
Young man.
Is defying our...
Thank God he shows us both hands on the screen.
Our pop culture today, yeah. Which says, you know, so that drives him even
that drives
further
him crazy because yeah. He won't fit into the mold that they want him to be fit in.
We need to be...
What? Yeah, you know what? That's right. Tim Tebow will not fit into the mold that we want him to fit into. We want him to fit into a mold of a guy who has a quarterback rating of, you know, 60. We want him to fit into a mold of a guy who can hit a tailback going out into the flat, 10 feet away with a little simple swing pass and not have the entire stadium gasp waiting for some quick-witted cornerback to grab it and streak with it to the other end zone. That's the mold. No, fit into the mold of hitting a first round draft choice wide or how about Champ Bailey? Hit him in stride going down the sidelines a couple of steps ahead of the defender. Hit him in stride and see. No, because Tim won't fit into that mold neither. Handoffs are an adventure with this guy. But no, in fundamentalist world, it's because he's a young, good-looking, strapping, athletic man, young man, defying our pop culture. And it drives them crazy. Look, these are not my words. These are direct quotes from Matt Barber here. He's driving Matt Barber crazy. Right? Ick. Just, you know,
ick. It's just a little too, dare we say it, over the top. But you ain't heard nothing yet.
Praying for Tim Tebow, because the scripture also says we power not against we fight not flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. And Tim Tebow is going to be in the enemy's crosshairs right now, because he is being salt and light, as we're commanded to do. So he's going to be under assault. There's going to be tremendous temptation on him, with young women throwing themselves at him and so forth. We need to pray that...
Yeah, but Matt Barber, I don't think we've got anything to worry about with them young women throwing themselves at him. It's when the young men start throwing themselves at him that you're going to have your heartbreaking problem there. And that, you know, when the sports page, you know, Tim Tebow caught snorting meth off gay hookers. But, you know, when that story breaks...
Tim Tebow will remain strong...
Yeah, how about you need to pray that Tim Tebow will remain in the closet? But that's what it is. It has nothing to do with the fact that the guy can't play quarterback. It has nothing to do with the fact that he is a pious, pharisaic hypocrite about his faith. It has nothing to do with him singing off-key, "Our God is an awesome God." See, how was my motion there, Coach? Was it better? Nah, none of that. We hate him because he's a young... good-looking, strapping, athletic man, young man, defying our pulp culture today. Rocky! No! Projection much? No, I'm not qualified to offer any kind of a diagnosis, but, you know, I always defer to our good buddy, horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner, but holy cow! I mean, the lions are all saddled up and ready to run through Narnia, you know? David in Tennessee noting that strapping young man. You ever notice how Timmy Jebo looks like a Toms of Norway cartoon character? I mean, really. Full round lips, loomingly tall, oh, so muscular. All Timmy needs is the leather straps for his upper bod, the soft captain's hat, and yes... the porn stash. Spike, who is a sports correspondent of long standing, says, as a former host of syndicated sports talk show, I would like to say yet again, Tim Tebow is the Boz of evangelical quarterbacks. He couldn't shine Mike Vick or Jim McMahon's jocks. Don't say that, Spike, because, well... just let time pass, and you never know but what he will be. Play the... yeah, okay. Here we go. Please play the clip of Rush on ESPN Game Day a few years ago on Donovan McNabb. Replace black with evangelical and media with conservatives. Notice, by the way, how great of an Uncle Tom coke-addicted Michael Irvin is here. How do you really feel, Spike?
I've listened to all of you guys, actually, and I think the sum total of what you're all saying is that Donovan McNabb is regressing. He's going backwards. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say this. I don't think he's been that good from the get-go. I think what we've had here is a little social concern in the NFL. I think the media has been very desirous that a black quarterback do well. Mm-hmm. We're interested in black coaches and black quarterbacks doing well. I think there is a little hope.
Evangelical quarterbacks and evangelical coaches. Per Spike's instructions.
Both invested in McNabb, and he got a lot of credit for the performance of this team that he really didn't deserve.
But
the defense carried this team.
But somebody went to those championship games. Somebody went to those Pro Bowls. Somebody made those plays that I saw running down the field, doing it with his legs, doing it with his arm. He has been a very effective quarterback for this football team over the last two or three years.
Yeah, but
what we see right now. And they didn't have any more talent then.
Oh, yeah,
than
they did on
now.
Defense. On defense, they did.
Tom Jackson bent out of the chair.
For the defensive side of the ball, winning games for this team.
But I'll tell you what, I'll say it even more strongly, Tom. When they're winning, nobody makes more plays than Donovan McNabb with his arm than Donovan McNabb. Yeah. That guy is really one of the best in the league at making plays.
Well,
but making plays does not win championships. running the offense does. So at some point, I think
Corey
Detmer looks like a better option because he'll go in there, drop back, and throw the ball correctly.
Isn't it odd that last year with the broken leg, I know it was Arizona, but the one game he was in the pie, he looked great.
He had to play, he had to run that off.
So, Rush, once you make that investment, though, once you make that investment in him, that's a done deal.
I'm saying it's a good investment. Don't misunderstand. I just don't think he's as good as everybody said he has been.
Rush has a point.
Well, he certainly hasn't matured.
That's Michael Irvin at the very... Rush has a point. Rush has a point. Oh, God. But, you know, it's because he's... Right. It has nothing to do with the fact that Tebow has no talent. Or he can't throw the ball. Or when he does, it's anybody's guess where it's going to go. I mean, he really is progressing toward his real ambition. You know, his daddy, in the hagiography that exists about him, says, when Timmy was about to be born, I prayed and I said, God, give me a preacher. And he gave me a quarterback instead. Well, the preacher... Because... When Tim Tebow drops back to pass, well, he becomes just like Billy Graham, because he becomes one of only a small handful of people who can get 70,000 people to stand on their feet and yell, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Hey, so, I don't... But just watch Tebow. I mean, there are people out there with far better gaydar than anything that I will have. You tell me. Well, we'll take a little break and come back. Phone lines are open, 877-443-2366. 877-4, head on. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Afraid now. A disco bar in Germany. Baseballs are glad to be a pumper right now. Leather straps, these boys got SS caps, but they got no gun now. Get dressed up, get a little risque, got to do a little S&M these days. It's all in fun now. These boys come on again for the hunting class boys and the businessmen. Driving their Mercedes Benz to a disco bar in a mansion. Well, now you get the jokes that the DJ makes. You get nervous and you make mistakes. They're back for business. Some tourists take a photograph.
have been slain in the spirit. I just had a pair. I've just been blessed with a parody. Tim May plays quarterback. Tim May won't get caught in the sack. Unless it's by Brian Urlacher. No, I couldn't resist. Our Bible verse for the evening coming from our chat room moderator, Lottie. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is an hairy man, and I am a smooth man." You know, if we were... Here's smooth Bob Kincaid. Smooth jazz. Head on Radio Network. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening and happy holidays, Brother Bob.
Well, good evening and happy holidays, Brother Albert.
If I may quickly just finish your lyric... You know, you said, what was that last part? You said something about, unless he's in the sack with...
Brian Urlacher.
Brian Urlacher. Of course, he's bareback, because what they really love about him...
Oh!
Virgin. Ooh, you like that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, boy, it's been a rough one, man. It's been, it's just been one of those, we don't even have any snow up here.
We have no snow. Really?
Nothing. Nothing.
I mean, we had a little bit on the ground this morning, but gone.
Yeah, my cars are over here. You know, they don't know what's going on. Catalytic converter's falling. Power steering today. Pump failed. Oh, it's just always something. You know how it is.
I know how it is because I paid a repair bill just today.
Yes.
Don't you love it when you take your vehicle to have it fixed, it gets fixed, and you pull it back out and the radio doesn't work anymore?
And we have a really good mechanic, but, you know, this is...
Oh, and I do, too.
I love our mechanics. One of the guys, the thing is, was one of the ramps, the lift, fell on one of the mechanics at this little mechanic and killed him. So I almost feel bad going in saying, "Hey, can you fix my car?" I mean, we sent them a card and we gave them condolences, all that stuff. But you know, it's like, oh, they were busy as it was, and now it's there, and I feel so bad. I don't even know. So yeah, we definitely got to go in and have something done, but man,
this is the little white car you guys were toddling around in.
No, this is the wife's car. My car is a whole other story. Don't give me when I've been busy, I've been doing the things with the school. It's amazing. It's amazing how you put some time into something, and next thing you know, they're reading, you know, this book and that book. No pictures, no this. Yeah, they want the pictures, but they read the books, and it's a lot of fun, getting a lot of reward out of that.
Those two, no doubt.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's an amazing thing once you see them in their eyes grasp the concept of, you know, zero times anything is zero, and they go,
it's like watching the universe get born, isn't it?
It is. It's a beautiful, it's an amazing experience, and, you know, I mean, if only God would repair and miraculously, you know, provide for, you know, any woman that has uterus damage, a brand new one, and any child that goes hungry, some food or whatever.
Well, if he came along and tried to do that to Agnes, he'd get punched. You know, no, don't you put that back. I don't want that there. Done now. Thank you.
What a miracle!
I mean, was there any? And see, you remember the scene from Monty Python's Life of Brian with the half a shekel for an old ex-leper. Ex-leper? How'd you become an ex-leper? Well, I was, had a nice trade, minded my own business. Along comes Jesus, says you're healed. Not so much as a kiss my ass or a bye or leave. Had a trade. Now I'm an ex-leper. You have any idea how hard it is being an ex-leper? I mean, was there any evidence in that clip, Albert, that the woman who got a uterus back and had suddenly become pregnant again wanted to be that way? But then again, it's par for the course, isn't it? Because there's nothing in Luke chapter 1 that says, "And lo, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Elizabeth, who was barren and stricken with age, and said, 'Hey, sis, you want to have a baby?'" No, she doesn't get any say-so in it. Neither did Mary.
You got to prove there's a woman first, and that's where they get a little. Let's go to cut to commercial. You know, Tucker's going to take a walk.
Is it looking good?
Oh, it's we've got nothing to do for the next 30 days from the last thing I heard. You know, they've had all the. I told you, this thing's so mobilized. Ah, Bob, I don't run around. I don't blow gas. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, that is my favorite line. I don't just say things.
Well, at the same time, just even in terms of the pump, it's like, every little bit matters. My impact, what does it matter in the big scheme of things? But if everybody, doesn't just drive around like it's 1993, maybe it makes a little difference. But, I haven't even had an opportunity to sign this thing, to be honest with you. I haven't even had the opportunity to sign it, and it's passed.
Everybody else was in front of you. No, I want to get rid of him. No, me first.
I'm serious. I didn't even have the chance. I turned around. I figured, we got him. I mean, you know I'm going to sign it. Come on now. I mean, I get the phone calls. I get to this. I get to that. I'm sitting there talking to these people. They wish, oh, man, we shouldn't call that guy. Don't call that guy again. Because they asked me a question for, and I don't give them a one-word answer. I don't hear that. That's nonsense. But anyway. So, yeah, I haven't even had that chance, and it's pretty much, what do they need, $40,000? Oh, Bob, trust me, if they don't have it by, New Year, forget it. There's no way. There's no way they don't have it. They have it, and this guy's gone. Everyone knows it. Look what he's done.
But, I mean, then it's a recall election, and doesn't that open the door to oodles of the typical right-wing Republican dirty tricks to try to keep people from voting?
Oh, that's exactly what they're doing now. Of course. They're trying to claim that some lady said that she called the radio station and said that she signed 80 petitions, which is a load. Give me a break. 80?
Yeah, 80. That's 4 or 5 days work.
I'd sign 80 if that's what it took, but not illegally. I'd sign 80 times. Maybe she said that. But what are you talking about, 80? How are you going to sign 80 times? You know what kind of crime that is? That's a crime. I remember I used to work with a guy who was on the run from California because he was messing around with ballot petition signatures. And I didn't know this, right? And I go on his tour. Oh, yeah, let's go drive. We're in northern Idaho. I go up and take him into Canada. The guy's a freaking fugitive from California. Could have been
been
the Canadian prison. But not so bad. But, that's the kind of things. And you don't mess around with that kind of stuff because if they want to – and he was just – I think he was forging some signatures for getting a park or some nonsense for the neighborhood. So it was like something like that when the news came out. So, come on, nobody likes this guy. What are you kidding me? Nobody likes this guy. They don't have to forge anything. There's people. The line is so long. Forget it. They'll be collecting signatures till election day for this guy. Forget this guy. He's ridiculous. But the beautiful thing about him that I love is he's woken up people. He really has. He's woken up.
Yeah, No. Snot Walker has served a vital purpose in the body politic of this country, and I would suggest especially within the body politic of the state of Wisconsin, right?
I think in the whole country. If it wasn't for what he did, if it wasn't for the fact that, all right, 2010 we get apathetic, so no, we don't really have the turnout, and Obama's not doing everything we want, he hasn't ended the war in Iraq, and I always hear people talking about, he hasn't ended Afghanistan. Well, you stupid asses don't know. You didn't pay attention when he said it. He never said he was going to end Afghanistan, did he? No, he didn't. So, let's go.
No, he said that was the right war.
Exactly. So if you wanted Dennis Kucinich, I keep saying that. I keep running into that wall that, but then they think Dennis Kucinich is Ron Paul, and it just makes me just...
Oh, he's just like Ron. I mean, if you wanted to vote for Kucinich, just vote for Ron Paul. They're the same people.
Anyway,
yeah, because all those Dennis Kucinich newsletters are out there saying that AIDS patients enjoy the pity that they get.
They stopped Ryan, and when he got them welfare checks, didn't they?
Yeah, that's another great percentage line. Not.
Yeah, and I liked what when Rachel Maddow exposed that cruel racist Dennis Kucinich in his newsletters. Did you see that? Actually, it was Ron Paul. It's not time.
Yeah, right.
Dennis Kucinich is great. Yeah, in the Great America, we can't talk like that.
Well, he went down and registered to run for the 9th congressional district of Ohio today. By the way.
Yeah, that's a scrambled eggs. I don't like that. That's gerrymandering. This is what they do. This is what they have to do. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, it just makes me sick.
Well, they couldn't beat him in his own district, so they decided to try because, he's. I guess he was next on the list after Alan Grayson. But Alan Grayson's running again. He's not going to take it quietly.
Hey, we got rid of Ben Nelson. I don't know about you. I feel great. That makes me feel happy. Because you know what? I'm tired of the dinos. You know this. How else are we going to clean house? If it's a Republican seat, give it to them. I don't want someone that's going to vote with 40% of the Democrats' crap.
And, you know, I had forgotten one of the other pieces of good news coming out of the coming senatorial campaigns. Do you know that after January 2013, we won't have Joe Lieberman to kick around anymore?
Damn.
I have no reason to do my droopy dog impression anymore.
That's a miracle.
It's a little Christmas miracle. That's right.
Yes, exactly.
He's gonna quit the Senate and go to work for the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh, big shocker. Where I'm sure he'll probably get the full Dick Cheney outfit, you know, with the heart pump that just he has no
pulse. Right. Yeah.
It just goes. You know, it's crazy. Hey, I don't know. Another thing, speaking about this, this is what's kind of scary about this. You know, if you can have a heart that just pumps and just goes, it's right. You heard about this. This is awesome. We got, you know, Nikola Tesla. I just got to drop it in there. Nissan announces for their two electric vehicles when the other one that comes out, and even though they want way too much money for these friggin' things, these people are crazy. But anyway, but that's because we don't put any money into developing carbon nanotube batteries. So anyway, let's spend it on war. $1 trillion on military. We still need to spend $1 trillion military.
Yeah.
Every day.
Because, anyway, you know, it's just laying around, and where's the fun in having money if you're not spending it?
Yeah, exactly. You still sit there with this crap. Ugh, you just blanked my mind. Sorry, you just made me think of that Rush Limbaugh clip. God, that blew me. That's why I hate that stuff. That's why I hate that stuff.
I'm sorry.
It was a combination of the, you know, like the, oh, the big talk. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, what about when he had his broken leg and, you know, that football jive. And then with Rush Limbaugh on. And I'm glad that doesn't exist anymore because I would be in a freaking mental institution to have to, like,
Well, what I always found funny about it was the fact that they would not allow him in the ESPN studio.
Mm.
They made him be somewhere else because, really, when he started on the, because if you had the video in front of you like I did, when he started on the it's a success story for black players and black quarterbacks and black coaches, Tom Jackson was halfway out of his chair.
That's, I mean, and this is the thing. I don't understand. Like, you listen, this is right back to Ron Paul again, because, you know, he's the latest racist in question here. You know, I always hear, you know, they always bring up, you know, these right-wing Ron Paul tards and the right wing, you know, just right wing freaks. They always bring up how the Democrats, you know, and they're always talking about the Dixiecrats. You know how they always do this. And then I would love to see when you go and you type in Ron Paul Stormfront, go type that in and see the responses. Okay.
Do I really want to do this?
No, you don't. No, you definitely don't. But you know, because you know what, you don't have to. Because you know where it goes. You go to Stormfront and type in Dennis Kucinich or Barack Obama.
Oh, golly, number one on the search list, Stormfront founder.
Mm. Oh, of course. That's what I mean. They talk like...
And it's... Like, no, but that here's the funny part. It's a story from today, Albert.
I'm telling you.
Headline, Stormfront founder, Ron Paul's views coincide with ours on most issues. Texas Representative Ron Paul received an unwanted endorsement on Tuesday when Don Black, the founder of the white nationalist group Stormfront, told the Young Turks host Cenk Uygur that he supported Paul's presidential candidacy. Paul has recently been plagued by yada, yada, yada. Black says he's... Isn't it funny to have a white supremacist named Don Black? He's clearly not a white nationalist. He does not have the same worldview we do, Black told Cenk. But we agree with his stand on the issues, which we believe are heartfelt, coincide with ours. I might prefer that he understand the racial issues that we deal with a little more than he does. We believe that white people in this country and all European countries, Australia, Canada, are facing a form of genocide through assimilation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ron Paul is a Christian Reconstructionist. And a Christian Reconstructionalist is to a, you know, neo-Nazi white supremacist to what Kmart is to freaking Sears.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. So, you know, of course. Oh, he's not exactly. He's not. He doesn't, you know. But he.
But as we like to say here in the hills, closing up for government work.
You know, I mean, yeah. I've honestly, I've been battling way too many Ron Paul bots. I really have. It's just they. It doesn't matter. You rip their circuit board out with facts. Doesn't matter what you do. Ron Paul. It's almost like going into John Malkovich being John Malkovich and being John Malkovich. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where it's Malkovich, but it's Ron Paul. Fed, end of Fed, Fiat, Ron Paul. That's all they say. They you not, don't even bother. It don't engage. Just look at them and go, Ron Paul, huh? Okay.
Woohoo! Get a net.
Yeah. Don't get into the. Oh, because you can't. You sit there. You say, oh, well, you know, you see what he wrote up in these. He didn't write that. Oh, Ron Paul wouldn't write that. Dr. Braun. Ron Paul. Ron Paul's not racist. He was a doctor. He
delivered babies.
Black babies. No, Ron Paul. That's what you get.
You have been on too many sites, Brother Albert.
I'm sorry, brother. Today, you know, it's kind of still the Christmas, New Year's holiday, so girls not as severe in terms of the schooling, and you know, but the schooling always runs late for us. And every time I turn around, it's 7:30, and then, like, so I catch the end. Yeah, I catch, you know, it's all for you. I get the call. I'm sorry, brother.
It's okay.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, you know, Ron Paul, I agree with him about marijuana. I agree about the drug war. He's right. He's right about George Bush. I mean, he was right about Ronald Reagan, but he's a broken fucking clock. That's what he is. He's right twice a day, and then everything else. No, it's not 7:12.
I don't care what you have to do. You make me an excuse because I got to go potty down to the In-N-Out Burger. I'm not using that gay man's restroom.
You never know
what's in those little shell-shaped soaps.
You've seen Bruno, right?
Yes.
I watched that clip again because it was like, wait, Ron Paul was in Bruno, wasn't he? So I had to.
Yeah, see, Jim took me off guard the other night because he mentioned Bruno, and I thought, yeah, well, and then I realized that I remembered, yeah, because Ron Paul really was in Bruno, and it's a great moment for all of those little Ronulans. I love that word, by the way.
Ronulan, that's great. I'm using it.
For all those little Ronulans, oh no, he's not a racist, he's not a homophobe. You know, they need to see the Bruno clip. There's queer stuff going on in there. This is queer stuff, queer. He just keeps saying the word queer.
He's queer. That guy says, queer as the Dickens, he says.
Queer as the Dickens.
Hey, Ron Paul's an old man.
Bust my buttons.
You know, I mean, come on. You know, he's an old man. Iowa don't mean squat for diddly. It doesn't mean nothing. You know,
And you live near it. You should know.
Oh, yeah, come on. I mean, that's what I mean. It's the same thing with New Hampshire. New Hampshire, these guys, they shake everyone in the state's hand. That's, you know, it was never possible where I grew up. It certainly isn't really possible here. You know, and that's just because those states are, you know, they have, what, 120,000 people in them?
It is physically possible to shake the hand of every single human being in Iowa or especially New Hampshire. You know, but you know, it's so funny. One of our perennial funny men from the Clown Car Act, Rick Brofromix Santorum, do you realize that of all the candidates in the Clown Car Act, he's been to Iowa more, and he's got almost the least traction of anyone save John Huntsman, who just isn't trying? He has been to Iowa 92 times trying to nail down the crazy-ass fundamentalist evangelical vote, and he ain't getting nowhere. This one just slayed me, Albert. He told people at an appearance yesterday? Tuesday. Yesterday, yes. He said that President Obama has made nasty, personal, divisive, unfair accusations. Well, not against Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is less than the sand grains between Barack Obama's toes in Hawaii right now. But he continued, because you know, he's setting up, you know how it is with these pig lickings, Albert. They got to set up the straw man, and then they go brooga, 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 and they tear the straw man down. So, yeah, Barack Obama has been, he's made nasty, personal, divisive, unfair accusations. That's what, it's a Prophet Bill Hicks moment, Albert. Sit down and strap in. That's why I'm asking. Now, this guy's a millionaire, spent two terms in the Senate, got big love from lots of corporations, ain't eating beans, right? I mean, he's a one percenter.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm asking for your help and support, Santorum explained. Obviously, you've got a big decision to make in a week's time, a week from today. And I would very much like your support. If you want to send a message to the man, those are the folks that are the experts, the folks that are trying to shape this race. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Barack Obama is the man keeping Rick Santorum down. I read that and I wasn't okay for several minutes.
That's like the wind out of me. Goodness.
If you want to stick it to the folks who want to shape the debate and think they can tell you who you should pay attention to, as opposed to who you've been on the ground listening to, all the candidates, this is where you step up and say, no, you don't get to decide. You in Washington and New York, you don't decide this race by who you have shined your light on and said who the American public should pay attention to. This guy is so thoroughly unself-aware, Albert, that he doesn't realize that when you go into meetings and you say, this mug of beer is not an abortion, that, you know, you're just not going to get that traction you're looking for. Stick it to the man. Vote for me.
That hurts my blood. Yeah, that's some fetid crap right there. Goodness.
Oh, but lo and behold, the breaking news via the chat room, Albert. Bro Fromix is moving up in the polls. Finally.
Point one.
He has reached 16%.
Thank goodness. Let it bring him on. Oh, my God, bring him on. Bring him on. I call him forth. Summon him.
That's in Iowa. He's still at 4% in New Hampshire.
That's too bad.
Darn.
That would have been a good one. I mean, because Obama's going to kick the living crap out of Romney. It's just going to happen. You know, he's going to kick his ribs in. And because he's just...
Well, luckily, there's a fundamentalist preacher out there who can heal broken ribs.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, with a punch to the sternum. I heard about that guy. I'm going to have to go see him.
Oh, yeah. He's got some great ink, too.
I wonder what he does for a swollen prostate. Anyway,
Oh!
Sorry. Well, you got me going with that T-Bow dude, and I had the displeasure of spending some time with my evangelical family on the holidays, and I had to...
They're big fans, aren't they?
Oh, huge. Huge! I mean...
And they don't even live anywhere near Denver, right?
No! Oh, no! I'm like, well, why are you rooting for Denver over... That's what I was. I was like, well, why are you rooting for Denver over New England? Like, you know, I mean, isn't Denver... I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know anything about it. I really... It's one of those things, you know, I popped it out of my brain, and I don't have any knowledge for it. So, I mean, I know how to play the game. Don't get me wrong. You never forget how to do that. But for all the this and the that and the strategy, I have not... Even though I watched that documentary on the franchise football, I still don't pay attention to it like that. But just documentaries. If it's a documentary, I'm going to watch it. I don't care. So anyway, you know, oh, they're praying for him. They're praying for him. They're playing the freaking game. I had to get out of there.
I
had some carrot cake.
Say again. They're what?
They prayed for him. They were praying for him. I could tell. I really could tell. They were praying for him, like, you know, the hands and watching. Oh, and if you do anything good, yay! But I was like, well, what are you talking about? Yay, yay, yay. Like, oh, we got 2 yards on a little tiny scramble, you know, because he can't throw to anybody. You know, that's what I was sitting there watching the game, watching him, you know, fumble around. And I've heard, you know, I've kind of heard it. I was like, oh, he's kind of familiar to me. But, you know, it's like T-Bow. T-Bow's in the same bin that Justin Bieber's in for me. And the situation and the whole, all that stuff.
Oh,
I have a bin.
You just brought on spontaneous nausea.
Sorry, brother, but that's where that stuff goes. That's that bin. That's why. That's what that is. That's a piece of crap. It might be white, but it's still a piece of crap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's, you know, actually the white stuff's useful. But I've probably given you that tip already. take it and you got dog crap in your yard and you have white poop, it's the coprophilic fungi, and that'll inoculate your yard, and then your dog poop will get in about 2 weeks in the summertime. You barely have time to go out there and take it out, and it's gone. But anyway, let nature run its course. Let nature do its things, you know?
Yeah.
Stop pumping holes into the friggin' Gulf. You know, look at this. And I know, I'll tell you one thing that Obama's really, really pissed me off about, you know, because I don't want to sit here and just talk about good things about him, because, you know, if they listen, they need to understand how pissed we are. I don't want this XL pipeline. Tar sands, we know we don't need this crap. We know we don't need that. We know we don't need the Pentagon budget being what the frick it is. We know we all don't need this. And that's what I want to see some talk on. You know, we got Rick saying, you know where these Republicans are going. Where are we going? Where are we going to steer this ride? I mean, this is 2012. Goodness gracious. And has anything ever so much crazy ever happened in a year as 2011? Think of how much crazy happened in 2001.
That same thing has been going through my mind, because I try to balance it against the human tendency to think that, you know, the laws of primacy and recency and you know, just because we've just been through it, it seems like. But no, really, I've tried to step back and be objective. This has been a lunatic.
Yeah.
It's been a lunatic year.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And then you hear the things the Republicans say. It's like, what? I recall hearing them speak rationally once in a while. Even George Bush even spoke rationally here and there when he was campaigning. These people don't speak. I mean, that's why Ron Paul's standing out, because he is that broken clock, so he's right twice a day, and that's how wrong everyone else is. And it's really funny when they take Ron Paul's talking points and start parading them around like they're there. You like when he talk? They taking like his crazy talking points. You see all that? Goodness gracious! It's just unbelievable. This disgusting. Thank God all these debates are over. I'm sick of that. I want to see some debates against. I want to see Obama do something. That's what I want to.
I want to see that so-called debate that Dr. Newt got all pissed off and challenged Romney to today. Because
what happened?
Yeah. Because they asked, some enterprising member of the for-profit media asked Willard Romney about what he thought of Gingrich failing to qualify for the Virginia ballot.
Oh, yes.
And he said, didn't Newt compare that to Pearl Harbor? I think it was more like Lucy at the chocolate factory. So, of course, the for-profit media, which can't deal in anything resembling substance, Albert, has to run tattling to Dr. Newt. Did you hear what Romney said about you? It was just a hop, skip, and a jump across the monkey bars, down the slicky slide to, you know, Newt over under the apple tree, I don't know, selling illicit candy to third graders.
Newton.
Newton Leroy Gingrich, you come here right now. That is his real name, by the way. Newton Leroy Gingrich. Newton Leroy Gingrich, I ain't gonna call you twice.
Get that big old head over here.
That's exactly.
Sorry. That's what I heard. I heard it.
Get that big old head over here.
Sick bastard. Right.
Excuse me.
Sorry, brother.
Oh, God.
That's a spirit?
Yeah.
That's an entity?
Yeah, it is.
Got that tongue?
Yeah. Oh, I've been stricken dumber than Elizabeth's wife. Husband. For John.
Good job, Jabba Jay.
I love you. No, so the for-profit media reporter, did you hear what he said about you? And so Dr. Newt responds by saying, well, you know what? I will just invite him to debate me anywhere, anytime here in Iowa, just one-on-one, me against him. And you know, you're real good at saying things out in the liberal media, but let's see you look me in the eye and say, good God, all of a sudden it was an episode of the Andy Griffith Show with Ernest T. Bass daring Barney Fife to knock the chip off his effing shoulder.
Yeah, and you know what'll happen. Then they'll cut, because now we cut the commercial, and then when we come back, Newt's big proposals, they have a shop off at Tiffany's and see who's the real man. You know, because if you can't spend well at Tiffany's, how are you going to balance the budget?
Newt and Leroy Gingrich, you get that big old head over here right now.
I'm going to tell you again. Anyway, God. But, you know, I actually heard an interesting little thing about why he didn't make it on the, I think it was Maddow. She had said something about how the governor of Virginia wants to be vice president. He's like real kind of, he's kind of like putting himself out there for it, and he's quite popular or something about that line, she said.
And, you know, he might be a nice choice because he's a graduate of Pat Robertson University School of the Fundamentalism.
Of oralism. So, you know, we sit here, and if we, you know, like if new, maybe that's his little plan, I don't know, maybe that's why he's not on it, I don't know. Maybe that's his little pick, you know, because, you know, Newt, I don't think Newt's got the backing, you know, I don't think he's got, but I think he could grab it. I really do. I think, you know, I mean, I don't think he's going to do it. I think it's just, hey, I said Kane, what is Kane? Kane, these women came out. Why did his mistress come out? Because he wanted to get the hell out of there, because he made his name, he wanted to go make some money. So he knew he wasn't going to make it. That's why he's told all that gibberish. Come on now. I mean, you know, so like, you know, I think Newt's kind of trying to make an attempt at this, and like he's kind of thinking, you know, with a strategy in mind, which that's how it shows you how pathetic Romney is. Isn't that guy just pathetic? Isn't that guy just the most pathetic?
Well, see, that's why I said all along that he's not just because of the name similarities. He behaves like a Romulan. You know, you never see anything but the ass and the elbows of a Romulan going away after they put the shivet in between your ribs.
For real. Yo, that guy's like a, it's like how Mitt's wife is a Stepford wife. You know, that's Stepford Mitt. You know, he's not a real person. He can't be a real person. Come on now. Corporations are people. Well, Mitt's not a people. That guy's not people. What is that guy? That guy's creepy. He's got a soulless look in his eyes. I don't like that guy.
And he's trying to make himself out as normal because today he told some. Oh, I've had a lot of sugary cereal today. I'm going to be bouncing off the walls.
Sugar. Forget it. He's like watching like one of them British off, you know, those great British comedies like Peep Show or, you know, Mitchell Webb look.
Yeah, he's a Romneytron.
Yeah, he's got this, like, he makes you just. Like, when I'm watching the British comedy, I expect to feel uncomfortable, you know, because they're shining out a personal facet of a personality that a lot of people share, you could see, and how people really act, and they like the realism of it. When I look at him, I'm just uncomfortable. And it's the same exact thing, but it's not supposed to be funny. You know what I mean? Like, at least with The Office, you know, Ricky Gervais, you know, he plays this slimy guy, and it's like, oh, God, it's, oh, for real, he said that? You wince when you see it. But at the same time, it's funny because it's written like that, and it's performed, you know, flawlessly like that. And Mitt, it's doing it, and he's trying not to do it. It's just crazy to me. He's the most, hey, guys, look at me. It's like Kerry out duck hunting. Oh, look at me. I'm a hunter. Oh, God. Remember that?
Cue the duck.
Oh, Jesus. God. I mean, you know, I know we were rooting for him just because we wanted to get rid of Bush, but, you know, that's because we saw where Bush was driving us. And now, where Bush has driven us, you know, Obama has to friggin' make a 180-degree turn to the left just to get back on the friggin' shoulder, okay? And he barely can do that with all the other crap that we got to deal with. So, you know, this is where the dialogue in this country is so friggin' screwed up, I don't even know what to talk about. Healthcare, yeah, it's nice everybody's got access to it or what have you, whatever the hell happened here. But I'm still not going to the doctor for every time I feel sick. You know, and I'm probably going to wind up with a terminal illness because I'm afraid to sit there and go stack my family up with a $80,000 or $8,000 bill, and it's going to wind up being an $80,000 bill in the future. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm sitting there, it's like, well, what are you going to do? Can I drop $8,000 on what have you because they want to throw me in an MRI machine for 10 minutes and take five pictures, and next thing you know, that's, you know how much that money is. You know, why don't we have a single payer in this country? Why don't we have this? Why don't we? Oh, we got Ron Paul. He wants to take us back to 1882. That's what he wants.
Because that was such a great time. 1882.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't you ever read Dickens? Haven't you ever watched Christmas Carol once in a while? That's how people lived. That's how they lived. The poor heart. What? Didn't you see? I mean, the Ebenezer Scrooge's little speech when they ask him for some, you know, some charity. That's what those people. Do you not hear Republicans when they say that? What, aren't the poorhouses and aren't they open?
Look, they applauded Ron Paul for suggesting that people be left on the floor to die in a hospital.
Applaud? They were the ones screaming, "Let them die." That's crazy that the crowd is even crazier than Ron Paul, which is crazy as crazy can be.
And again, the caution, the cautionary tale out of this, Albert, is that I was so impressed by what I got out of Ken Burns' documentary about Prohibition. Wayne B. Wheeler, I do not need a majority. All I need is the margin. And you know what? If you've got a margin of people willing to scream, "Let him die," we don't dare write off these freaks because they're only 20%. Because they are a noisy 20%, they are a determined 20%, they are a my way or the highway 20%, and if you tap those 20% in a race that winds up being 49-51, you've got trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all know what happened in 1928, right? 28 was when the Nazis came, right?
Yeah, well, the 32, yeah.
Yeah, 32 in that range, but they were there. They were there before that. You know, they got 28% of the vote. Then they got 30. Then when they got 32%, 35% of the vote. You know, we all know what happened with that. I mean, but see, and this is the scary thing: is these people here in this country that are in that fringe, okay, that margin, that those people think that Hitler was a socialist.
Oh yeah, because Jonah Goldberg told them so.
Holy shit! That's scary. You saw Hitler was a socialist, and we're going to show him how we really do it. What? That's really scary. I mean, think about that for a second. Just let that swim around your mind. Goodness gracious! Now when you're full of that fear, fear is the mind killer. I must face my fear. It is the little death before total obliteration. Then you say that to yourself, and you become. But think about how scary this is, that these people, these are those people, they think, oh...
And the thing is, it really is one of those horror movie, minor chord, threatening music kind of trailery. They walk among us. You know, you went and sat, granted, you knew what you were doing, but you went and sat down with the in-laws and watched a football game, and bang!
Dear Jesus, please let him complete this. Let's pass out to the flat. Amen. I claim it, and I name it, and in Jesus' name.
Prophet Bill Hicks?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. He's got his hand. Oh, please, Lord. Oh, direct me. I'll unleash your fire and heavenly purity. Oh, God, what do you say? And that's the thing is that preacher said, oh, yeah, God was telling me to punch. What? What? Man, I can see God talking to you once in your life. Once. You know what I mean? Like, don't do that. And then,
yeah, I mean, God, you know, that Wiley, the greatest Wiley Coyote moment in your life. If you decide not to do it, maybe there was a still small voice in the back of your brain that might have actually been the last remnant of your rational mind saying, you know, this is not a good idea.
Yeah. But when that keeps going...
You know, when you're a born and bred redneck southerner and you feel the overpowering urge to say, hey, y'all, watch this. If there's something back there... No, don't ask them to watch. Don't do it. Maybe that's the definition of God. I don't know, but if that's the case, then most of these people who are listening, really, there's 11% of Iowan Republicans who just really, really want Rick Santorum to be president. Really?
And Rick is scarier than Ron.
Oh,
Rick is really, that guy's really scary.
He doesn't think Wall Street is getting enough love.
Oh, no. That guy's handmade. I mean, Ron Paul would bring us to Handmaid's Tale. Rick Santorum would really bring us to Handmaid's Tale. Like, for real.
Yeah, the sequel.
He would reenact it. It would be for real. Like, verbatim, that guy. That guy, come on. Everything he's a character in an Atwood novel. That's what he is. That's how crazy he is. Oh, Rick Santorum, Jesus. He doesn't even get his name. I don't think he gets it. Oh, my kids have to go and, you know, they can't even Google their own name and something gross about it. You know, that's kind of how he does, like Rumpel. I didn't read them. I didn't write them. Of course I didn't write them. I got 500 people working for me. I don't even remember their names. How could you expect me to know?
And
how could you expect me?
But just don't make me go to that gay bathroom.
Oh, for real? Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, it's so transparent. It's so clear as crystal. It's ridiculous. It just is ridiculous, and it is scary that these people, I don't even know. It's like there's a momentum behind it. There's a momentum behind their idiocy. And it's like as the parents that dress up as Santa and then slaughter their families and real quick, I just have to ask this. We all know Barack Obama hasn't been the biggest dove in the world. But is he really a warmonger, Bob? I'm asking you this. I hear people say this.
Yeah, I get the emails, too. And generally, maybe it's just because I'm a kind of Pollyanna about it. I want to say no, but there are certain things that make me kind of go, maybe.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
this run-up with Iran,
mm-hmm.
we're getting ready to impose new sanctions that Iran has directly said will cause, because, you know, economic activity is a form of warfare. Do we understand that?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's the first line.
So we're going to twist the screws a little tighter on a nation that we persistently say is run by people who are not in their right minds. Okay? I don't notice us twisting screws on North Korea. That's because they've got a you-know-what. Right? But we're afraid that Iran might get a you-know-what, so therefore we're going to twist the screws on them. And so what happens is earlier today, the leadership of Iran said, well, you know, you screw with us and we will close the Straits of Hormuz. And the administration didn't say anything directly, and that's probably wise because, you know, it's like, you know, that in your front yard, the more you stir it, the more it stinks. And you don't poke crazy people with sharp sticks. It's, you know, just not, you know, it's not wise. But then lo and behold, a writer for Reuters contacts the 5th Fleet headquarters in Bahrain. Okay? And says, what do y'all think about Iran saying they're going to shut down the Straits of Hormuz?
Mm-hmm.
The 5th Fleet then responds thusly. The free flow of goods and services through the Strait of Hormuz is vital to regional and global prosperity. Now, I have word choice problems with that prosperity part.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who threatens to disrupt freedom of navigation in an international strait is clearly outside the community of nations. Any disruption will not be tolerated.
And
that's not promising, Albert.
No, it isn't. And honestly, let's look at this for a second. Real quick, I just have to say the silver lining. I'm going to give the good news first here. The good news is this puts Obama in a position to say the best thing. And I think the best thing for him to say is, you know what? We're going to quadrillion our efforts at fusion technologies, battery technologies, all kinds of technologies, so you can't even try to play this game. That we're not even going to let you play if you want to play it. Because we're still, I mean, you think about it. What is Iran going to do against the 5th Fleet and the 3rd Fleet and the, come on.
They do have those little torpedoes, those really fast torpedoes and the missiles.
I told you about the missiles. That is something to worry about. But, you know, I really have been looking at it as the years have gone on with the way Russia and Putin has behaved and with the way all these other kind of guys have been playing. I don't know if their stuff is that good. I don't know if it is. I sit there and I see them demonstrate. I know that they have these missiles. I know they have them. But, you know, Saddam had Scuds, too, and we were a little bit worried about them, and they did.
They turned out to be bottle rockets.
Yeah, pretty much.
What disturbs me out of this statement, Albert, is the anyone who threatens to disrupt freedom of navigation in an international strait is clearly outside the community of nations. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, they've already threatened to do that. So that's the 5th Fleet declaring that Iran is outside the community of nations. And at that point, well, doesn't that mean you can do anything to them you want to?
No. As a Navy intelligence man, okay, I was in Naval Intelligence. That's right. That's what I did in the Navy. For me, what that sounds like to me, as in command speak, would be to be on alert. That we are going to stand our ground. This is our post. We're going to guard the Straits of Hormuz. And if anybody does cross into it, well, then that's Iran, isn't it? Now, see, Iran's best bet, their best bet is to be as transparent as they can. They've already, right? They've signed a non-proliferation treaty. They've done all these things that they've had to do. There really is no evidence that they're developing a nuclear weapon. There isn't. Russia's trying to handle the fuel extractions and the refinery. Right? I thought we had this all under all this deal. Right? I thought we had kind of this stuff kind of simmered down. Then, of course, Israel comes in and does some, you know, we've got to worry about us. And, you know, next thing you know, here we are again. Right back into full raging boil. And I don't see I think Iran would know. I mean, you know, they had a military parade of their airplanes. It was like these airplane boats. You know, the pilot wasn't even in a cockpit. He was sitting there out in the open. The boat's made of fiberglass. Do you have any idea what our frickin' ships would do to something like that? It wouldn't even be a 3-minute party.
Take it down with a big lighter on an oar.
I mean, seriously. I mean, come on. For real? And they may have these ship missiles. True. Well, we also have direct energy weapons. And we have this, and we have that, and we have everything. So that's the thing. You know, Obama can come out and be a freaking world hero by applying us to where we should have been for years.
Yeah, 40 years ago?
4 years? Carter.
That's what I said, 40 years ago.
Yeah, 40, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, no.
35.
I'm getting there, but, but you know, yeah, and this is Carter's second term. That's how I look at Obama. It wasn't, Carter's first term wasn't so great. It really wasn't. But he kind of matured as he grew on as a president after a post-presidency, and he's probably one of the better human beings that this country has produced in the modern era. Okay? Can we maybe agree on that?
Oh, no, I will defend Carter's presidency. You know, it frustrates me when I hear so-called progressives say, Jimmy Carter, weak.
No, was it weak? But he was kind of held, you know.
But he wasn't going to pigeonhole himself into the traditional role of warmonger in chief.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, exactly. We just finished Nixon. We just finished, Johnson, Nixon, Ford. You know, and then the Vietnam War is just over, and then we got this embargo when nobody knows what the hell to do, and so he puts some solar panels on the roof, and next thing you know, there's hostages, and he tries to get them, and the plane helicopter crashes. Next thing you know, Reagan makes a deal. He's going to sell weapons to Iran.
Yeah, because the helicopters were built by crappy profit-driven defense contractors. Yeah, that was Carter's fault, right.
Yeah, and this is the other thing about these same thing. It's the same thing with these crazy libertarians when they sit there and they tell, look, true libertarians, and it has never happened anywhere. Well, it's actually not true because we have Liberia. And we did take a toxic amount of it, you may have never tried, you know, scotch, but, you know, you've had vodka, and, you know, you may have not whiskey, but you've had vodka, and whiskey and vodka is kind of the same thing. It's a grain alcohol, and then they add a little flavor to it, and that's what makes a whiskey, right? Right? Okay, it depends on the grains, man. I'm not going to get into an argument.
Yep.
Being general, it's a mineral spirit. So we're sitting here, you can have a toxic amount of this stuff, and we had a toxic amount of libertarianism, and Alan Greenspan had to admit it, that his philosophy, that he grew groveling at Ayn Rand's labia, that he sat there and learned all this crap, he sat there and had to come out and say it was wrong. And that was after, what, 2007? He said that? 2008?
Yep.
It was wrong. We were wrong. Do they hear it? No, of course. Ron Paul.
And by the way, I have to tell you, I mentioned at the beginning of the program, I have more callers get fan mail than me. You've got it. This in from Andy. Toaster for Albert for saying Ron Paul is like a broken clock. He's right twice a day. This comment is spreading, says Andy. Give him a toaster. I'm hearing it on other talk shows, but the first time I heard it was from Albert on a previous Horn show. Ron Paul is like a broken clock. He's right twice a day.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I got that. I've heard the stands, Bob. I've heard people talk about Mississippi Stan outside of the Horn family. That makes me go, when you talk about, what's the newest one? What's the newest Stan? The one that arrested that woman and gave her 15 years in prison for 31 grams of marijuana for she sold or something.
Oh, Jesus, no.
It was Oklahoma? Yeah, Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, yeah, just put it.
15 years.
And at this, I mean, at this point, I hate to say it. It grieves me to say it, but there are times when I don't think it's inappropriate to refer to us as America, Stan.
We're getting there. We put Ron Paul, we put Rick Santorum, we put any of those. I mean, God, Newt would just be a real.
But there is good. But there is good news out there, Albert. I have to share this with you.
There is, of course, always, Brother Bob.
I treat this as good news. Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman spoke to Personhood USA. Really, really, Albert. There is an organization out there called Personhood USA.
Personhood USA.
Yeah, they want to make it. They want laws in all 50 states saying that the minute the little sperm gets together with the little egg, it's the same thing as a full-fledged human being. So she spoke to Personhood USA last night because they hosted a pro-life tele-town hall and radio simulcast. Michelle Bachman was there. Bro-Fro Mix was there. Newt Leroy Gingrich, get your big old head over here, was there.
Of course.
Rick Perry was there. They were all interviewed by some babbling right-winger from that talks on the radio in Iowa way named Steve Deese. And they all had 10 minutes to proclaim their commitment to little precious fetuses. And Michelle Bachman said, ending abortion, and this is a quote, is what I would literally die for. With all apologies to the women in the audience, could we end abortion for about 15 minutes?
We only need two.
Nationwide, we'll just end it for a half hour tops. Just long enough to hand Michelle Bachman the harakiri knife and say, get to it, sister!
Yeah, see, she tried to hold her breath. That's it. She just tried to hold her breath to death. That's what she would do. But she's like Ricky in the Trailer Park Boys, and Ricky had the heart attack.
Yeah.
See, because Ricky didn't fill his head with all kind of book learning stuff, that his brain didn't really need that much oxygen. So the problem with her is we'd need at least 25 minutes for her to hold her breath to death, because 15 isn't enough. 15 would kill you, me, and everyone else, you know, many times over. But for her, no, we need 25. Sorry.
Jesus, she might get smarter.
Yeah, goodness.
But she had to do that, though, because before that, I think it was Bro Fromix who said, ending abortion in America, that's a hill I'd die on. That's a hill I'd die fighting for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
why is it when I start talking about those people, I wind up sounding like Mr. Ed?
Because they are. Because they're the horse's ass, that's why. That's what they are. They don't deserve, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, human respect is one thing, but goodness gracious.
But, I mean, that's something we have to be cognizant of and aware of going forward.
They're out there.
This personhood business, I mean, Jesus, they even scared Mississippi Stan out of doing that. Okay, that's how creepy they were. They got the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops to say, really, we oppose abortion, but no, please,
didn't they
no.
Just try? Didn't they just try again with a? I mean, in the federal government for the same sort of.
And that's the whole point. Right? They're gonna keep at it. They're not gonna go away. They don't go away. They have massive amounts of funding to continue at this determined drive to turn us into a fascist theocracy that would be just basically the mirror image of Iran. I mean, can you imagine having to turn on the TV because President Bachman was standing out with giant posters of President Bachman all around her delivering an address to the faithful? Well, you, me, Sandra, the rest of the Horn family, we'd be watching it over by the guard tower, I'm sure, but you get my idea.
Through the fence.
Yeah.
Through the barbed wire.
That or we'd be off in a re-education class somewhere.
Or we would have already been reassigned to organic food production as fertilizer. You know, I can't. I don't know. I don't see that you really... They're almost like a clock. It has the right wing in 2011 really been like a watch where the crystal pops off the face, the dials pop off, and the spring goes. Right?
I was about to do the sound effect, but you got it so much better.
Yeah, well, thank you. Have they not been like that this 2011?
Yeah, and the entire House of Representatives.
2012.
Don't have time to address the needs of the unemployed, but. Mr. Speaker, I propose we put a statue of Winston Churchill in the Capitol because that Muslim Kenyan anti-colonialist with a deep-seated hatred of white people, the President of the United States, Barack Hussein Osama, had sent the White House bust of Winston Churchill back to England. Mr. Speaker!
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Real quick, did you see there was the death photo of Osama? Speaking of Osama, you made me remind that death photo leaked out. Did you see that?
No.
It's out there. Or if you want to see a picture of him with a hole in his head, it's out there.
Yeah, I can probably go on for a long time without seeing that. Because Judson Phillips, as I mentioned last night, that Judson Phillips, that one of the multi-headed Hydra heading the teabagging movement, sent out that email a couple of days ago saying, I personally think Osama bin Laden has been dead since about 2003. This was all staged by Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, of course. of course he did. Yeah, Barack invaded Iraq. See, that's what you don't understand. That's what they believe. Barack invaded Iraq. He invaded Afghanistan. He killed Osama bin Laden in 2003 and then hid his body. And he told George Bush, I mean, he did 9/11, Barack Obama did. Barack Hussein, Osama bin Laden, right, or Obama. That's what he did, right, didn't he?
Absolutely.
He used
black bombs in his little black coat.
He kills everyone. You don't mess around with no Barack Obama. He kills everyone.
I saw a photograph.
A heart attack?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ken Lay, And was probably off laughing and making fun of Donald Trump while he did it. Because that's how... Right.
He's the Antichrist. It was written in the Bible.
Well, you know, what was that poll from a couple of years ago or so? 29% of voters in New Jersey weren't sure if Barack Obama was the Antichrist.
New Jersey? Really?
Yeah, Jersey.
I'm sure there's some crazies in Jersey.
Yeah, Maura is really upset with me right now for reminding the world that New Jersey said that. But
God, that's terrible. Ugh.
Yeah, I'd remember that all too well. But you're right. You're right. He's the angel of death. That's what he is. Yep. The angel of death.
Yeah, Prince of Darkness.
And yet at the same time, I saw this photo. And, wow, do you remember when he was inaugurated? And you remember those two precious little girls that were there?
Mm. Yep.
4 years later, they're growing up. I saw a photograph of them. He's wearing his flip-flops. He's in Hawaii. He's happy. Mm-hmm. And,
Wait, real quick, time out. Did you hear about how they freak out? They freak out, right, because they had to build a couple of houses in Hawaii. Well, the guy's from Hawaii, right? That's where he grew up. He grew up part of his life there. That's where his family is. So he wants to go there for vacation instead of Crawford there. So they had to build some houses that cost $4 million. And then, oh, my God, $4 million, $4 million, $4 million. For real? For real?
Isn't that job creation?
They blame him for the... Well, they also put all of Bush's deficit on him.
Absolutely.
He does everything. He did everything. It's $5 trillion of Bush deficit is Obama's deficit. You know, and of course, I mean, the bailouts. And you know, one thing we can say about the bailouts, even though, you know, you were a little bit more pragmatic, I was kind of saying, let them fail. I remember this, you know, I don't have a bad memory. I remember things, you know. And I was saying, let them fail. I'm sick of this crap. Why? Because these people are scumbag, disgusting, parasitic criminals, and it'd be better just to and start all over again than it would be to keep this wretched, putrid friggin' tower standing, and it still is disgusting, and it still is corrupting, and it still is everything that it is, and, you know, we bailed it out, but not to say, the bailout at least worked, right? It kept GM alive, kept this alive.
And it turns out the cash for clunkers business
was
a huge success.
Huge.
If that thing had been 10 times the size it was, it would have been 10 times the success it was. It wasn't a failure.
Yeah, we should be serious, and this is why, you know, and I mean, we should be serious about putting solar panels on every roof, on every house, in every state in this country. Every single house needs solar panels on its roof. I don't care if you live, wherever you live, Seattle, hey, every little bit helps. When we're buying in bulk, massive 300 million freaking sets of 10, 2.5 kilowatt power, you know, panels, we got plenty of roof space in this country, so why not? Why not sit there? Even if it's 100 watts, it's better when it's 100 watts times a million. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those where I even support making the rich richer. Let's make it possible for landlords to put them on their apartment complex roofs.
Like in Germany. That's what Germany does.
Why not?
Germany subsidizes solar. Germany subsidizes solar, not oil. And you know, I gotta respect Germany. You know, and after Fukushima, which is still a catastrophic mess.
Still getting worse. What was the reference I saw to it? Like having 5 9/11s. What is it? The UN recommended that Japan expand the exclusion zone. And the Japanese government, if I understand correctly, said, no, we think we will just ignore it some more until it goes away.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, okay, good idea. Jeez, and that's a sad, I mean, I don't know, man, you know.
And I saw some reference to the fact that TEPCO is financing the building of one of these in Texas.
Mm-hmm. And there are all these Series 1 freaking, or maybe 2 reactors. You know, maybe in Texas they're building a 2.
And here's something fun. Isn't the Keystone XL pipeline going to go through Texas at some point? I mean, doesn't it wind up in Houston?
Yeah, that's where it goes, doesn't it?
So, you know, let's build a nuclear reactor next to it.
Of course.
That's a great idea. I mean, how drunk do you have to be to come up with something like that? So a few minutes I'm watching TV, it was MSNBC. And somebody, some former Bush administration Energy Department official was invited on, I don't know why, who said, oh, no, the gasoline that comes from the tar sands in Canada is going to go straight into American gas tanks. It's not going onto the world market. It won't go to China.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having one of those fist through wallboard moments. Because there was no lightning bolt. God didn't strike her dead or anything for lying like that. Nobody came and dragged her away outside the walls of the city and stoned her to death or anything.
No. Well, the God of this world likes you to suffer.
Oh, that's right.
He'll twist you.
Yeah, and just like we're suffering because little Timmy Jibo won't hop in bed with some floozy, Jezebel harlot, some hussy.
He's saving him for me.
Jesus Christ.
He's so muscular.
By the way, Jan just wrote in and she said, Albert's right. Every building, every car built should have a solar panel on the roof. Every electrical tower across the country should have a solar panel and a wind turbine. The towers are already there. Signed, Jerry and Jan.
Amen. That's.
And then if you do that, you can look at Iran and go, you know, we just fixed it so nobody needs your oil.
You know what?
Drink it.
Yeah,
exactly. We don't care.
Yeah, do whatever you want. Whatever.
While we're at it, Don Blankenship, eat the coal.
Yeah, there you go. And this is the thing. I mean, right now, right? I mean, Solyndra, right? They freaking blew up about Solyndra. Oh, Obama, Solyndra, 500 million. Remember, they said 500 billion. They were trying to spend B. They don't know the difference between million and billion. And 500 million is a lot of money.
Never mind the fact that the whole thing was first discussed and.
Yes.
Sort of tentatively approved under the George W. Bush administration. Well, it was Obama who invaded Iraq. It was Obama who invaded Afghanistan.
Yep.
Probably Obama who kidnapped the Lindbergh baby.
I think he was, yes, indeed. I mean, but Solyndra's collapse was because polysilicon went from $133 where they priced themselves in. That's where they thought, oh, it's going to stay here. Now it's $33 a kilogram. It was $133 a kilogram, and the polysilicon counts for a third of what a panel costs to produce and make. And it went from $133 to $33, and these guys got basically the rug swept out from under them by China and Germany and all these other places when Reagan pulled down the panels from Carter's administration and said, we don't need that shit. We're going to do whatever we want. We made a deal with Iran. We made a deal with this guy and that guy and this guy. And that's
we're going to have oil forever. We're going to bathe in it.
We're going to bathe in it. Oh, we got oil, oil, oil. And, you know, this is the thing that makes you just laugh. It just makes me laugh. We don't have oil, oil, oil. See, back when gas under the Bush administration was $5 a gallon, the tar sands were just barely getting poked into. Now it's starting to become a massive thing. But why? Why? The same reason that we have a gushing a still, a fractured seabed, where that freaking deep oil, whatever the Horizon platform was, the seabed is now cracked, and oil is leaking out like, you know, like you got a scrape. Okay? And so it's a complete devastation. Why are we going so deep? Why are we, if we have oil forever, why are we going so out of friggin' bounds? You know? I mean, think about it. We're so desperate for oil, yet no one has still gone over to, you know, have the balls to go to Brazil and tap into that big, you know, that big oil deposit that's down there. Not to my knowledge. I think there's a couple of test rigs or whatever, but they know that the specialty required for drilling under 3 miles of water and then 2 miles of frickin' seabed, that's crazy talk. If anything ever happened there, forget it. There was another in the North Sea, a well, a whole frickin' platform. Poof, gone. Right? They can't do nothing about it. It's up in the north.
Yeah, you do get into some pressures down there at that kind of depth.
Exactly. What are you going to do when you're in the Arctic? You going to go sit there and go up into the Arctic and start doing it? Jesus, you sick people. It's time to break this habit. It's time to get off this junk. This is junk. This is crap. I don't care if you want to talk about Al Gore and global warming. That's nonsense. Look at it. I'm in Wisconsin. Oh, my God. I'm going to scream. I'm in Wisconsin, and it's a couple of days from January. We haven't been below zero once, okay? I am used to freaking snow up to my freaking hips by now. I am used to cold temperatures to negative 20. You know, I was watching. It's really cute.
Oh, I know. I was out in a T-shirt and just, you know, light sweatpants on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
That's wrong for here, too.
And I mean, I'm not trying to say that weather is climate change, but
because it's not, right?
It's not. I mean, you know, I looked at Stephen Fry and Stephen Fry Across America. You know Stephen Fry, and you know what's so funny? He drove through my town, Bob. Renee and I were watching it. We went, "Holy cow! Look, it's our." I showed the girls. They, "Oh, look, it's our town." I remember seeing his car, and it was only in 2008 that he was here, and there was snow. It was so cold you could hear his pistons knocking against his little. He had a little four-cylinder diesel, like a British taxi cab, and he drove it across the country. And he drove through Westby in the middle of friggin' right now. He is wrapped in coal. He is wrapped in a big Russian bear skin hat and all this other crap. He's sitting there freezing. His little engine is tuk, 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 tuk. That's how cold it gets here. -20. -20. Where? I could go outside right now in lounge pants. And I mean, my dog doesn't even freeze. My dog barely cries now to go outside. But if it's -20, he lets me know. I'm done peeing. Woo, 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 let me in. You know what I mean? No, this is strange. And you're going to sit here and tell me that we need to pump more CO2 into the atmosphere? How many parts per million do you want to get to? 450? 650? Where do you want to go? Until you're going to say, maybe the plants that we're cutting down, you know, clear cutting down the forests, and, you know, that's the other thing.
Everything is tied to everything else. Exactly. You saw the story about the seals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Diseased seals have been washing up on the beaches of Alaska of late. Lots of them. And they're testing them now to see if they've been poisoned by radiation from Fukushima.
Yeah.
Alaska, Japan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's described, Lottie put it in the chat room here, described as a mysterious disease marked by bleeding lesions on the hind flippers, irritated skin around the nose and eyes, and patchy hair loss on the animal's fur coats. Biologists at first thought the seals were suffering from a virus, but they have so far been unable to identify any such virus. And so now they're checking for radiation sickness.
About time. Wouldn't that be one of your first? Wouldn't that be one of your first guesses? I mean, wouldn't that be one of bleeding lesions? Did you not? How could you go to medical school and not even have the slightest inkling of interest, or any kind of medical school, even veterinary? They got to go through all kinds of the same classes for a while, don't they? How do you go to that class and you don't recognize what happened in her?
But then again. I imagine most veterinary and even medical school curricula, because, among other things, the nuclear industry said, oh, this is perfectly safe. No, it could never happen here.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of got to be relearned, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What could this possibly be? I mean, it's like bubonic plague. It, you know, the person comes into the doctor's office, presents, and goes, and the doctor has to say, what the hell is this?
What does this button do?
Right.
Hey, watch this. Yeah,
exactly. You get it. God, Albert, this has been a wonderful phone call, brother.
Oh, brother, let's stay more in touch. I'll try to get a hold of you and keep on keeping on, Brother Bob. Give you what I can when I can, and I love you. You have a safe and happy holiday season, the rest of it.
Oh, happy new year, and even though it'll be kind of a pain in the butt, I hope it snows for you soon.
You know what?
It's kind of, I mean, it's weird. It's like a 40 degree day in July, Albert. That's weird, too. You might think, well, you know, it's not as hot as it was. No, it's just wrong.
In Wisconsin, see, because you know how fall is. Fall, it gets ugly. It gets real ugly. In Wisconsin, it's ugly. And if we don't have snow, if we have snow, it's not so ugly. But when we don't have snow, it's just gray and brown and blah. Dark at 4:30.
And all you can do is sit inside and unscrew the cap for another bottle of brandy off the three or four cases you had stocked up.
Oh, goodness, I'll tell you. The brandy has actually helped. It's helped. It's helped.
Well, brandy does help. That's why it's brandy.
The wife even enjoys it. I'm telling her, we're getting old, but, honey, this is where we got to get into liquor day. Look at this. I mean, look at it out here. It's a tundra. We got no snow. Friggin' Mitt Romney and everyone else running for president, we got to drink some brandy. All right, Brother Bob.
That's what the snifters are for, Brother Albert.
That's one day we'll afford them. But all right, Brother Bob, I love you. You guys take care. Love to the Horn family. Love to everybody.
And back at you.
Let's have a great new year.
Let's
do this. All right, Brother.
All right.
Be good.
Take care. Bye now. The Sage of Southwest Wisconsin, that's our buddy, Brother Albert. We started in point A and wound up in at point, you know, Caledon Beta. It's kind of what conversation radio is all about. Hey, welcome to the program.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for fundraising. Fundraising, that is what I would like to see on here. As you hear in the background, you hear the churning organ. You hear it. You hear it, and it's playing for some funds. Not contributions, not donations, not citations. I am talking about love gifts. Do you hear me? I would like to see some love gifts. Now, Sister Kate, I understand you don't like this. I understand you can dampen that dial. You need to dampen that dial while we talk about fundraising. All you need to do...
Now wait a minute, brother. Sister Kate loves the fundraising.
Oh, she loves the fundraising. That's right.
It's the fundamentalist preacher she doesn't like so much.
She does not like the preacher. And what you are hearing, ladies and gentlemen, if you do not recognize it, that is the power of the blood.
That's Sister Marveline over on the Hammond.
Yes, and let me tell you something. The blood today, it tastes like Moxie. Every day it tastes like something different. You gotta enjoy that. You gotta go for it. And what I want you to do is, while that organ churns, I want the PayPal to start churning. You gotta get it to start churning right now. So I would like to see one contribution, two contribution. Keep on going. Keep on praising, and let's keep it going. Let's keep all the faith.
Name it and claim. Name it, brother.
We got to keep going. And while she keeps playing, and I want you to understand something. We have to stay together, be together, and completely just, you know, feel it. Just feel it. Because so many people, they don't feel it, Brother Bob. They don't feel it. They need to start feeling and reeling and just, oh my goodness, it's so much right now. And as we come to a close, as she's hitting the final chords, please, please give to Head On Radio Network. Amen.
And amen. Exactly. And you know what? We are only $65 away from matching John's challenge from Monday evening. So we can get there. And, you know, theoretically, David, we could actually close that $78 contribution gap between now and December 31st. And wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, that is definitely good to hear. I think as the time progresses and sadly, as more people, you know, Bob, I'd like to open this out of preacher mode now, but for a new caller or somebody who's never called the horn, I'm going to offer this to you. I will give you a free DVD of The Cave of Forgotten Dreams.
Oh, wow.
That's open to any new caller. And we'll work something out, Bob, so we can send it to him. And, I think that if you've been listening and you've heard about The Cave of Forgotten Dreams and you want to watch it and you don't have Netflix, this is a good way for you to enjoy this film with your
Make
family.
It possible.
I call it a family film.
You know what? That is going above and beyond the call of even being the Minister of Culture, David. I appreciate it. That's kind.
Well, I think it's a little social experiment. I want to see if the new callers out there. I know a lot of people. The phone scares them a bit, and it shouldn't scare you people because you should understand that everybody gets proper time to express what's on their mind, and if you're nervous. You know, sometimes that first call, I understand, and that's why a lot of people on commercial radio, they don't like speaking to people, and they make it difficult. They want to knock the new callers out and get as many buffoons and just mock the people in general on the radio.
You know, it's like I had an email the other day from an individual talking about the fact that they had tried to call and get a point across with a well-known host formerly from North Dakota, and it was determined that this person did not talk fast enough. So you know, your message doesn't matter. Now we, of course, here, insofar as I am a redneck, and you know, we do kind of talk a little slow sometimes. It's not because the mind's working slow; it's because it's how the mindset is. So there's, you know, there's no wrong way to make the call. David, I think you know that after all these years.
Right.
There's no wrong way to make it. The primary point being that you had something to say and you wanted enough time to get it said. And that is, you know, that's the thing that we're dedicated to. That's the principle upon which we exist, the rock upon which we have built the horn, as it were.
Well, you know, Bob, it's like a symphony. There are parts that are adagio and there are parts that are allegro.
Exactly.
And that's what people need to understand. And I understand that a lot of people, they have this moment where they say, should I call? Well, I'm giving you an opportunity. If you want this DVD and you've always wanted to call, there you go.
Exactly. And
1-877-4 head on and just call that number. And I'll leave it at that on that note. I did want to mention one of the things when you were talking about Ron Paul, which sometimes, Bob, you look at this campaign, you look at presidential campaigns, and here's what I did. See, this is something that people need to understand. I got into a discussion with somebody about this as well. I said, you continue to focus on the candidate when you have the source of the internet and the tools that you have, you can see the man behind the man, behind that man, behind that man, behind that man. So what I did, Bob, it's time to find out the engine, the complete engine of Ron Paul. And you can go to the 2012 Presidential Campaign Committee, and I'm not making this up. The two addresses are for the campaign committee are 845 Plantation Drive.
No.
And 8000 Forbes Place. Thank you very much. And good
game over. Good night. Yes, Elvis has left the building.
It's it's ridiculous on the face of it, and you just have to wonder if they were having a giggle when they made these places official as the campaign areas to contact for addresses for the national the campaign committees.
Wait, so the National Republican.
So the presidential campaign committee for the 2012, Ron Paul, which again, I think it's time for people to understand this. And I also said this to someone online as well. I said, do you really seriously think that the Republicans or people in Ron Paul putting up the big money were serious for president if they would continue to be on Alex Jones? Get the hell out of here. They would cut that off in 2 seconds.
Right, because, you know, you don't want it to be in the middle of your presidency and have Alex Jones out there saying, you know, my good buddy, the president of the United States.
Right, right. And here's the whole thing. So
you don't want to hear that.
Yeah, so you know, when people are trying to say, well, what's the deal with Ron Paul? Well, here's what I think it is, ladies and gentlemen. I think the money that they're raising, and here's the other thing. This is the other thing you need to pay attention to. The list of people at this committee, and Bob, I urge you to look at this whole list, it's from 10-15% are from the Rand Paul campaign for Senate. Ah. 20-30%.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes, yes. 20-30% are for the Bush-Herbert Walker campaign. Or they were on the administration or anything like that. And then you got the leftover Reaganites. So really, if you put this all together, the whole flag of the anti-war and just everything that goes along with it, you can look at Ron Paul, and here's the other thing. The age is a factor. Don't listen to what people say. Age don't matter. Yes, it does matter. Age matters in a presidential campaign. They will rip him to shreds on it, ladies and gentlemen. Rip him to shreds. The point is this. Bob, here's what I think's happening. These guys are all put together. They're branding the Paul brand. We understand this. This is a trial practice run. A very expensive trial practice run, but also a lucrative run for a Rand Paul presidential run in the near future. Whether it's 2016, 2020, I don't know. But here's the other important thing. All they want to do is make lots of money. All of these people in this campaign.
Oh, it's a hustle. I mean, it's Herman Cain. For God's sakes,
right.
Herman Cain. That was a book tour.
I will give this. Everybody, here's the funny thing about it. This is what Ron Paul's people want you to do, and this is why I think a lot of bloggers and a lot of people who are constantly want him to run for the nomination and want him to be there as much as possible. The Ron Paul people, they thank you for that because they want to get those donations up. And what is he up to? He's like a $4 million this quarter. $4 million. Have you ever seen those kind of numbers for a D-list progressive candidate?
No.
This progressive candidate who's just completely out there in a small town and whatever. But the point is that all of this, what you're seeing right here, is they want to keep those quarterly earnings. They're addicted to it, Bob. You go to Ron Paul 2012 and you see like 14 or 15 ads. They are making hand over fist in every way on the brand. And here's the sad and tragic thing. Progressives, we need to just stop mentioning Ron Paul on the issue of anti-war and say, because it's hucksterism, it's a con. They probably had this discussion inside. And as you look at these campaign people, I mean, for God's sakes, Bob, the deputy press secretary has a website called freemarketeros.com, and he was this is some serious credentials here. He was the editor of the Ecuador Mining News. What the hell is that? That sounds like a shell business if I've ever seen.
I'd say.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. All of this is just dress rehearsal for a money grab, for a bigger money grab. And that's the crazy thing. A bigger money grab. And you're making $4 million a quarter. See, this is the way they think. And this is why a lot of the Republicans, I'm telling you this, ladies and gentlemen, the Republicans, they're not going to go away. If they give the Democrats, and here's the other thing a lot of Democrats don't understand. Because they own the concentration of media, they can put things in such a way where people will start to feel incredibly, incredibly angry at the Democrats for no reason whatsoever. Just angry. But not so much at the Republicans, because the Democrats are constantly being hammered. Yeah, it's all a corrupt system. It's all a corrupt system. But those Democrats.
There you go. Not to say that the Democrats don't earn some of it.
Right. Not to say that. But, you know, I think we need a refresher course on the fact that...
Well, it's like the general reaction among the progressive community, and I'm part of it.
Right.
To the news that Ben Nelson and that thing on his head are going home. Now, just watching my Twitter feed over the course of the day, David, what did I see? I saw a whole lot of Yahoo goodbye Ben Nelson. And
right.
I share that sentiment. That God knows he was worthless as a voting Democrat in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
The one chance badly needed that American working people had to actually start restoring the middle class, which, I'd be remiss if I didn't note that we had a middle class because we had a vibrant organized labor movement in the Eisenhower, Kennedy administration, things like that.
Right.
That's how you rebuild the middle class, is by organizing working people into blocks which can then negotiate with management and capital for a fair wage. Well, the one chance we had to bring that to life, Ben Nelson helped kill it. Okay,
right.
So there will be no tears shed over his absence. However, and I said this last night and I'll say it again, in the matter of plain old fashioned numbers, he counted as one when we were counting one little, two little, three little Democrats, four little, five little, six little Democrats, seven little, eight little, nine little Democrats, 50 Democrats majority. All right? That is now more at hazard than it was the day before yesterday. And the number of Democrats bailing out of the Senate for 2012 is something like seven. All right?
Great.
So you start having to do this mathematical calculation where the calculus that I have seen and heard and read is that the best scenario for the Democrats in 2012 in the Senate of the United States, which is the real battle, I am now more convinced than ever, this
right.
is a diversionary little circus, this clown car act over here that we've all been so captivated by, and it's understandable. Clowns are fun to watch.
Right.
But the best scenario, the best hope that the Democrats have is to have a 50-50 split in the Senate that is broken by a reelected Joe Biden, who then comes in and becomes vote number 51, and, oh boy, Harry Reid gets to keep his job. That's as good as it gets, okay? It's not a Jack Nicholson movie anymore. It's as good as it gets in the Senate of the United States for the two-year term that will begin in January 2013 and will end in January 2015. Now, with a bunch of, like Albert was talking about, David, with a bunch of absolute unmitigated lunatics
right.
running the asylum otherwise that used to be known as the House of Representatives, what is a 50-50 split Senate going to do? Granted, it's better than a Republican majority Senate, which is still a possibility, a distinct possibility. So, my only point is that Ben Nelson, at least he was one of those that we counted toward being in the majority.
It is a constant distraction, and we need to keep our eye on the ball regarding all races, local and national, and not get so worked up on a presidential candidate's in the mainstream. But I see that's what's happening, and my only thing is that everything that we are building to right now, we need every single Democrat, and if that's a DLC Democrat,
yeah, and you know what we need, and we need them working Senate campaigns. We
right,
desperately
right.
need them.
And
you know, your compadre in the fraternity of Davids, David from Tennessee, just wrote in and said, in support of Brother Dave, He said, please remember, half-dead Fred Thompson still has, legally, mind you, a $1.6 million so-called campaign fund. Now, he got that by pretending to run for president in 2008.
Right, right. How much time do we spend on that guy?
Yeah, and as David in Tennessee notes, he can spend it any way he wants to if the expenditure has any sort of marginal, loose connection to any campaign of his. And I mean, the rules are loose. So, yeah, it's a dodge. It's a hustle. Just as a reminder of what a not a Democrat Ben Nelson and that thing on his head were, he let organizations go out and fundraise on his behalf to the tune of nearly a half a million dollars, which has already been spent in his behalf.
Mm.
That could have been used to fight a really important Senate race somewhere else. So what he did is he sapped out a half a million dollars and then bowed out of a race that people, and the reason he bowed out was because everybody was telling him that Nebraska Attorney General, who says that people who receive welfare are coons, he said that he was going to whip Ben Nelson's ass, and Ben Nelson did not have the stomach for the fight. I mean, what is it? But he sure had the stomach to cash the checks, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and I'm going to leave it there because I'm probably some other people are want to get in and call, and maybe we'll have that new caller tonight. But I think what people need to understand is, and I hear a lot of progressives and a lot of really, really to the core, just to the core liberals saying that, but we need more progressives. We need more progressives. The problem is if you are in an area and you can't have that progressive, you do not want to create a vacuum. And that's what we're going to do if we depress the vote. And here's the other thing. It's not going to hurt. It is going to be painful to watch to see a DLC-er in there and somebody that we don't have any...
Well, look, is there anybody out there, just as a for instance, Dave,
right.
Is there anybody out there kidding themselves that Tim Kaine in Virginia is some sort of progressive-minded liberal? Because he's not. Because anybody who will allow 25% of an entire county in his state while he is governor to be reduced to nothingness, that guy's not a liberal. That guy is not a progressive. On the other hand, however, he is running against George Makaka Allen. So what do you do? What do you do if you live in Virginia and you're a progressive? Do you vote for the guy who actively sought to continue blowing up your state, or do you vote for the guy who would be more than happy to work on behalf of continuing to blow up your state? What do you do? It's that lesser of two evils is still evil problem.
Yeah, it is a tough call, but you can see what happened in Maine when we left those vacuums open, and now we're dealing with a whole Republican contingency that we shouldn't be dealing with. And a lot of problem is, you know, so much chatter on the radio, so much chatter in the media, so much chatter in the print. It just created this whole frustration and disdain for Democrats in such a way that they thought that...
Yeah, and it's deliberate. It's because, and, you know, this is a conversation we've had before and we'll have again and bears repeating.
Right.
It's because the other side has the infrastructure with which to create that. There's no, tell me, I mean, I've never set foot in the state of Maine once in my life, David.
Right.
Tell me, how many progressive radio stations are on terrestrial radio, be it in Portland or Augusta or where the hell ever, Kenny Bunkport? How many progressive radio shows? Not stations, just shows.
There might be. I'm not sure because, you know.
I mean, is anybody running Hartman?
You know what? I think they are running Hartman in Portland. But the problem is you have all these Hannitys, the Howie Cars. You know the how.
Right. 1,000 hours of right wing hate speech for every single hour of anything that may even be remotely referred to as liberal, progressive, forward thinking, not right wing.
and just all a bunch of shilling commercials for gold, penis pills, just constantly going on that level. And that's a serious problem, and we haven't taken the media thing seriously yet, and we need to start doing it real soon.
Yeah, like 20 years ago?
Yeah, like 20 years ago. But anyways, before I go, just so people who just have tuned in, any new caller that wants to call in and hasn't called in before, I'm offering a DVD of Cave of Forgotten Dreams, and I'll keep that open until the... pretty much till the end of the year.
Right, and it's and this being Wednesday night prayer meeting, you name it and claim it.
Yeah, you name it and claim it. That's right. That's right.
Exactly, so, David. That's awfully kind of you, and I do appreciate it.
So people just keep that in mind, who are new listeners now. And with that, callers, I leave it to you. 1-877-4 head on. Call now. Donate. Contribute.
Operators are standing by.
Yeah.
Not really. Just me. Thank you, David. Thank you very much.
All right, Bob. Later.
Bye now. Bye. Minister of Culture David calling from Maine, and just to let you know, yes, we have met John's challenge. You, not me. You have met John's challenge. So thank you very kindly. And that means that if we were to divide the 780 divided by 3, 3 and 7, 2, 2, 6, 18, 9. Yeah, we need about 29 more $10 contributions tonight, and we will be one-third of the way toward actually finishing the month of December in the black, which will be incredibly helpful. But that's where we stand, and thank you for matching thank you from all of us at the Horn, and thank you from I will go ahead and say on John's behalf for matching his challenge and sort of doubling all of your commitments to what's going on here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Yes.
It's Andy.
Hey, Andy.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for passing out the toaster to Albert earlier this evening.
No problem. Matter of fact, I was just working on another email to send... on your conversation with David, but I never got it off until just now. Anyway, yeah, my comment is that this Ben Nelson deal, you're probably going to get some DLC hack to pick up the mantle to run instead of Ben Nelson. Of course, Ben Nelson is an insurance industry executive. He's put there for the benefit of Warren Buffett and everything he stands for, the big money interests. And you're probably going to get another DLC hack Democrat in there. But I'll tell you, the only thing you could do is if you're a progressive...
Well, I mean, the proof is in the pudding there, because there are rumblings that Bob Kerry might run.
And he's a hack, another DLC
yes.
hack, too.
Yes.
He's just part of the one percenter establishment. So friggin' forget Bob Kerry. He's a corporate Wall Street hack. So, you're talking about Jimmy Carter quite a bit. And, they hate Jimmy Carter, especially the oil industry.
Oh, God, yes.
And the Saudis hate him with a passion as well. Because in 8 years, when he cut the demand side of our energy usage, when he was president, when he put all these conservation programs in place, and they actually did lower the mileage standards and did a lot of other things at the different industries to cut back on oil, in 8 years, he was able to cut oil use 17% overall in America by 1985. So oil consumption went down 17%, and oil imports were down 50%. And then you know what happened in the mid-80s? Oil prices friggin' just collapsed.
That they did.
Persian Gulf oil, our use of Persian Gulf oil dropped by 87% in 8 years. And do you think the oil cartels will ever let that happen again and let somebody like Jimmy Carter get in office?
They will hair-lip hell to try to keep it from happening, Andy.
That's right. And the oil industry and the fossil fuel industry will do everything they can to besmirch and discredit Jimmy Carter, because when you look at the numbers, the man was a success. And during that eight-year period, our GDP grew 27%. 27%, and oil consumption was cut 17%. We do not need oil to be successful. Period. I mean, it should be end of story. Right?
You would think.
You would think. But, of course, you know, they're not the people that run our media.
No, they're not. And that is... Sometimes, Andy, I feel like I feel like when I talk about this media issue, that people somehow mistake that as me trying to inflate my own sense of self-worth. I hope that's not the case, because that is not my point. This country needs more progressive, more liberal talk, badly, desperately. You know, someone in the chat room just pointed out in answer to my question to David from Maine, that Stephen King's station WZON runs Hartman in the Bangor, Dover, Foxcroft area. So hooray for that. But there aren't enough of us. At one point in time, and the details are not worth going into, I was talking to someone, and I said, listen, this is a viable business model. You don't run around buying 50,000, and understand Clear Channel is a technical designation, not just a brand name. You don't run around trying to buy 50,000-watt clear channel stations, blowtorches, because those things go for millions upon millions of dollars. You go into Bogalusa and Busted Knuckle and Left Elbow and crap places like that. You go there and you buy stations there for little to no money. And then there are enough liberal talkers out there that you can put together an entire lineup. And then when the guy down at Roy Bob Shell that has a free car wash with fill up on Friday says, well, I ain't going to advertise them liberals, you have the salesman have enough guts to say, well, that's fine. Go advertise on the other news talk channel. There ain't one. And they will. They'll advertise. And it doesn't take that much money to keep a small local AM station going, and you provide service. You provide a woman in the morning reading the news. You provide a guy in the afternoon reading the news with an emphasis on local stuff, and you have people on in the morning and the afternoon who are doing the local talk, and you fill up the schedule, the remainder of the schedule, with, you know, Malloy, Hartman, Stephanie Miller, maybe, or... little old me, or Rick Smith, or Malloy, it can be done. But where are the visionaries who want to do it, Andy?
Right. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Of course, we need. But what you have is a model of an industry that is based on mega monopoly practices. We have Bain Capital, who owns Clear Channel, and cut staff, which is their model, of course. The Romney model is to get rid of employees, get the most efficiencies you can out of the business, meaning make a cookie cutter across the whole country and use one national news program and tape everybody all over this land instead of having, you know, actual local employees doing the news, and push that model all over the country. That's the Bain Capital private equity model.
Exactly. And you know, I heard
radio.
I heard
all the radio stations, you know, all over, and do this cookie cutter all over the nation.
Right. I heard Malloy talking about it because people were talking about Green 960 there, you know, with which I'm sure you are well familiar. And
he's going to be on at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Hooray.
I got to stay up till 1.
And so somebody said, well, you know, maybe if we start a letter writing campaign, and here's the name of the program director. And, you know, Malloy has been in this business since Christ was a corporal in the army of God. And he said, okay, fine, write him, but it won't make any difference because all these decisions are made at the corporate level, and program directors are not what program directors used to be. They're not directing programming. And
there's no doubt that the decision is made at a corporate level, but there's something else. You know, Mike can be awful negative at times. And before, when I first heard the news going out, he was going to be blown off completely, and so was Hartman. Now I hear Hartman's going to be on at 10, and Mike's going to be on at 1. So, for some reason, they made a decision to bring those guys back, because at first the news came out that they were completely gone. So something changed their mind.
Yeah, but you know what?
Just give up. I mean, just send it an email. At least it's something. I mean, or give a phone call over there if you got a number.
Sure.
You try.
But notice something in that we're talking about 10 p.m. in San Francisco, right, for Hartman.
Right.
Well, what does that mean? That means that, and Jesus, Andy, we're talking about San Francisco. I mean, we're not talking about Columbia, South Carolina, where they're... if you find a liberal, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. It's not that bad, but, you know, it's bad enough. It's San Francisco. And there's a market there for people who might want to actually call in live to a radio show. So what, in this clever retreat by Clear Channel, oh yeah, we're gonna run Hartman and we're gonna run Malloy, but we're gonna run them so that you can't interact with them.
Right.
And I mean that because you don't want, you know, Clear Channel does not want to hear people, you know, hey, this is Fred from San Francisco, and that you don't want to hear that, because that way you can claim that nobody's listening. And of course you also put Hartman and Malloy on when the stick has gone practically to zero. You know, given the time. The time changes, you know, when you're in high summer, for instance, an AM station doesn't have to power down till sunset. So that means on the Pacific Coast, when Malloy was from 6 to 9 your time, that meant that he could be on the hot stick. He could still be on the hot stick up until sunset, which meant that the signal went much further. But now you've got Hartman and Malloy on the powered down stick, and that means that the signal goes around the block.
Right.
So it's they probably did retreat just a little bit so as to appear that they were being responsive, but they did it in such a way as to make it abundantly clear that they don't want that getting heard, because then they can turn around and claim, well, nobody listens, nobody's listening, let's get rid of them. I mean, I can't
argue. I'm not going to argue with you. You're right.
I've experienced some of this.
And what do you expect from the main capital?
Right.
Why would a bunch of private equity guys bashing the media
be
shot full of holes every night?
Yeah, and this is the fun part, Andy. Even if it's making them money doing it.
Right. Because, as we know, people like Fox News can take losses year after year until they get that audience.
I mean, granted...
That doesn't happen.
No, granted, it's a pissant comparison, but in the fifth smallest radio market in America, I doubled the station's ratings in less than a year. I doubled their listenership.
You're the man.
And they got rid of me. They don't care about that kind of thing, because ideology comes first. And it would be nice if we had a few people on our side for whom ideology came first. But actually, the real business people, the ones who make informed business decisions, actually, you know, some of those are on the left liberal side, and so, no, not so much. And if it makes good business sense to run Sean Hannity, well, by God, we'll run Sean Hannity, won't we?
Although, as I think I might have mentioned before in an email, with Ed Schultz, the problem with Ed is he did take funding from the Democratic Party. He is sponsored by people like Tim Johnson of South Dakota and that other freak, Kent Conrad, who are both Democrats in name only, both of those freaks. They're both just total one percenters, and that's the way they vote, and that's what they do. But they're Ed Schultz's boy. They're the sponsors of Ed Schultz. So you will never hear a negative word from Eddie Schultz about those two.
Oh, no.
You know, so that's the problem, too, when you do get sponsors like the Democratic Party. Yeah, maybe a George Soros, somebody that's a little more independent, But when you get the party of Joe Stalin, which is, you have problems.
Right, because there's a, it's not an ideological purity that you're talking about at that point, Andy. It is a personality-driven purity.
Right.
But that's part of the curse of access. You know, if you want to be able to have certain high flyers and highfalutins on your program from the political world, well, you're just going to keep quiet about any screw ups they might make. And God knows that's part of the reason. It's not something I'm willing to do. When somebody screws up, I will, if I see the screw up, generally comment on it.
Right. So did you hear Obama today in his reserve board appointment of a Republican?
Oh, yes, of course.
Jerome Powell?
Isn't that inspiring?
Private equity executive. The Bain Capital model. You have to like that. Be right there for the 99% on the Federal Reserve Board. A private equity guy.
Stunning.
Unbelievable. Obama is just too much. He will not put up a fight for nothing, for anything. I mean, really, I'm sorry, the guy is really worthless. And one reason I didn't argue with you before about the payroll tax, I know the last time I was on the phone talking about that, is I don't want the payroll tax reduced. I don't want to.
No, I
another excuse to destroy the FICA, the Social Security Trust Fund. No. I do not want, and Obama is giving them that excuse, and they will. They'll take every bit of rope Obama gives them, and they will hang Mr. Obama with that rope. The Republicans will do that.
I don't disagree with you on it. The problem with that whole boondoggle was that they also tied it to continuing unemployment insurance, and they're very good at doing that sort of cynical. And it's a very cynical brand of politics, Andy.
Right.
And so
I wanted to make. Go ahead.
No, and so you know, you're left making some sort of a twisted devil's bargain
right.
in that.
Deal with the devil, right? Exactly.
Because on the one hand, you would like for people who are desperately in need of their unemployment insurance to continue getting it, and on the other hand, you're sitting there going, yeah, but you know what? This is just an ongoing erosion of the Social Security system, and it's not a good thing.
Right.
God.
And something else, too, you talked about before on the show, but my vote for the guy who should commit Harry Caray, who has every reason in the world to do that, is ex-Governor and Senator John Corzine. For losing $1.2 billion of customer funds.
Well, do you believe it was lost? I mean, Andy, you're more savvy in these issues than I am, and I don't think it was lost.
No, it was used by commingling the funds from farmers in Missouri and Minnesota and all over the Midwest with their own private funds for their private gambling, and that gambling was the bet that Mr. Corzine put on sovereign debt of the outlier European countries, like Portugal, Italy, Spain, and Ireland.
Yeah.
He put the $6.2 billion bet on that. The bet went sour because he used what's called futures in probably a lot of that bet, which you have to use what's called margin. You have to put collateral up. You have to put cash up to make that bet. And what happened was when that bet went sour, when those sovereign debt started going down, instead he probably bought at 80, 90 cents on the dollar, when they went down to a market value of 40 or 50 cents, the futures exchange said, put up more collateral, put up more money.
Margin call.
You bought. Right. Margin call, put up the money. And they're there. We don't have any money. The only money we got are customers' money. Well, we'll just ship this money to Europe, which they can do in England, in London, on the London Exchange. There's no law against
commingling
customers' funds. Right. Of commingling customer funds with your own private firm funds for your own private investment. So that's simply what they did. He just shipped the money over.
Well, will that ever become public? Will that
margin calls?
Will that ever become? Hey,
I've read that in some financial.
But I mean, will that ever become widely public? And B, if it does, will anybody go to jail?
And it looks like what Corzine did as well is Gary Gensler used to work for him as head of the CFTC. So he was one of his employees, so they're good buddies.
Yeah,
and Corzine worked out some kind of deal there, you know, where they weren't, he's supposed to be monitored. They're supposed to be watched, regulated by the CFTC. Where were those guys? What were they doing while all this was going down? They should be watching those accounts. If somebody shipped funds off to London, they should have known it. $1.2 billion isn't trivial.
But aren't they understaffed? And this is not by way of excuse, Andy.
Yeah, that's another thing, of course.
Aren't they understaffed and underfunded for? It's kind of like the USDA. We wouldn't be having because all regulation is bad. But the fact of the matter is, we wouldn't have these periodic recalls of ground beef that has come in contact with poo if we actually had enough USDA inspectors on the ground. Isn't it? But we underfund it deliberately so that we don't have them, so that the stuff falls in the poo, just like the money in the MF Global money fell in the poo. And it, like I said,
that's
not
true.
By way of excuse,
yeah,
but
that's true. They are underfunded. There's no doubt. The whole regulatory infrastructure of the United States is under, and that's of course done by design by a Republican Congress that wasn't even going to come through with the funds that were allocated to Dodd-Frank to implement that.
Right, because
it's control. Wall Street's in control of this Congress, of the House. I mean, it's clear.
Yeah, and I mean, isn't it just sort of a manifestation of the frustrating hatefulness of the free market Randian chaos, libertarian, whatever, economics that, because, you know, their argument is, well, you know, you'll never invest with MF Global because they've been taken care of by the free market. Or, you know, if your kid gets sick and dies from eating a bad hamburger, well, the free market will put that butcher shop out of business. You know,
right, well, tell
bull.
The Minnesota farmer who invested $200,000 to, hedge some grain or wheat sale that he had, and he had to put up the collateral or something like that. Now he's out $200,000 and doesn't have enough money to buy seed for next year. Tell that
right, and see, that's the big difference. John Corzine,
he's been business with them for 20 years, you know?
Yeah, and John Corzine and the boys at MF Global, ain't none of them going to start eating beans and cornbread, okay?
No.
But the guy who...
over half a billion dollars.
Right, but the guy who loses his shirt in Minnesota is...
Right.
And will count himself lucky to have the beans.
Right. He can't get his money out because it's now tied up. And even if he does get it back, he'll probably get back 50 cents on the dollar, maybe. You know, he's not Goldman Sachs where he can get 100% on the dollar off of AIG when the credit default swaps come due. He's not Goldman Sachs. He's some little guy.
Right. And then, and
so
then,
he's
and
he's only going to get a portion of what he even had. So it's probably not going to save his ass anyway.
Right, and in libertarian economics world, it's enough that on the ad you say, this can be a risky investment, it may involve losing your initial investment, so, you know, be careful. Caveat emptor is all you get in that world.
Right.
But you're also, by the same token, driven into it.
Right, when you've been doing this business for 20 years, it's supposed to be fairly safe. I mean, he's making a safe bet. He's betting he's going to actually deliver product. You know, either corn, wheat,
whatever,
pork bellies. Well, these guys are making legitimate deliveries and taking product, whereas they're not speculators. They don't deserve to get screwed. They're not speculating. They're delivering product, right?
You would think, yes.
MF Global for. So they don't deserve to get screwed. They're doing safe bets because they're planning safe bets, meaning they're actually hedging something. They're selling a product maybe forward because they think the price is going down, so they'll take the price now, or they're buying product to make sure that the price doesn't go up.
Right. They're
taking and they're going to deliver or accept product.
No, they're not short selling GE like Spencer Abrams down in Alabama.
They're not speculating, these guys, per se. They're actually doing it for their business, and they're ready to deliver. But they shouldn't. The farmers, these guys, shouldn't be getting screwed like they are. And then the money gets tied up in Europe when the bankruptcy happens. What happens is it all gets caught up in legal wrangling. So you can't get it out. It could take years for some. some of the money to...
And the next thing you know, you're in the middle of Jarndyce versus Jarndyce, and it's Dickens, and it's Bleak House, and you're screwed.
Absolutely. Hey, one other thing, too. Regarding Thomas Friedman, I heard this author, Blaine Fernandez, she wrote a book on Thomas Friedman.
Oh, really?
I could tell this to you guys, O'Neill and Lilly, the two professors at Cordovia. She gave it to them, but she wrote this book on Friedman and tracked all the things he had said and read everything he ever put together. And she, like, brought up, like, one of the quotes that Friedman made before the Iraq, or during the Iraq War on the Charlie Rose show was, American boys and girls going into the houses of Iraqis, and the Iraqis can suck on this. You know how they used to break into the homes?
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Rip out the parents or, you know, kill people, just shoot blindly. Thomas Friedman just thought that was great. And our boys and girls, you know, they can, the Iraqis can just suck on this. And he said that on, you know, Charlie Rose's show, who I hate, but, you know, it's good.
Well, you know, I can't stay awake long enough when Charlie Rose is on the screen to actually hate him.
Right. And then another comment that Thomas Friedman made was during the Serbia that we had when Clinton started dropping the bombs.
Right.
And the Friedman made the comment, he said, we can either bomb you back to the 1950s, or we can bomb you back to, 1396, when they had that whole, imbroglio with the Turks. That's the big,
yeah, that's the magic date that, the magic date that engenders so much hatred, yes.
Right. Or we can bomb you back to 1396. Which will it be? That's the kind of guy Friedman is. He's a nut.
He's
warmongering, you know, empireist. Everything's about empire for Friedman.
Yeah, it's like what was reported about May of 2001, when the Bush administration said to the Taliban, "You can have a carpet of gold or a carpet of bombs. You choose." Lost Andy. Remember that? Carpet of gold or a carpet of bombs, because back then we were kind of fond of the Taliban because they had cut opium poppy production. Now, of course, opium poppy production is in a modern heyday. It's not better than it's ever been before. Hey, let's see. Hey, welcome to the program.
It's Richard, Bob.
Hey, Richard, what's up, man?
Well, I got a couple of things on my mind. Three things. The first one is so big that maybe we should reserve it for email, but it's it has to do with the future of the horn and getting more blood into it. What do you think?
If you've got an idea, by all means, share it.
Well, you know, I have to give credit where it's due. There's been some really wonderful people who have, you know, delivered their blood and sweat to making the whole thing go, you know, and Guy James and
Vecchio
and
Peter Godbold and
John Fox, you know, they've given more than they could ever afford to give, as have you, you know, and you know, talking as a guy who's been in radio, it's like you know, what I'm looking at is that there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen to make it go. A lot of effort.
Yeah.
Show prep, for one thing, right?
There is that.
I mean, you know, I can only imagine the equipment that you're surrounded with, and that needs, you know, to be maintained, and somebody has to do it, and, you know, you need consulting from a couple of guys to, you know, to help you to do that. And
well, I mean, just as a for instance, I've had a lot of conversations with people who really know how this kind of stuff works.
Yeah.
If there had ever been, say, and this is a crazy number, if there'd ever been $12,000 to pay to a publicist, you know, a PR person, to get, because virtually, with the exception of the occasional little ad over at BartCop, and the occasional mention on a website here and there, and people putting "get on the horn" like the smart mom does on her emails as her signature line. Everything that every means, and God knows the continued kind words of Mike Malloy. That's how we've grown, strictly right. by word of mouth.
Exactly.
You know, but, you know, you move up into the, and there are stories out there about people who went from nobody knows them to on everybody's name on everybody's lips by virtue of, you know, $10,000 or $12,000 for a little PR blitz. It can be done. But that's never been there because it's always been about making, and I don't want anybody, it's about keeping the lights on from month to month to month.
Right, and we know that, and I'm going to submit that we got a lot of people who are listening, whether they call or not, and a lot of these people don't have a lot of money.
No, they don't.
To throw into the pot, and that money is desperately needed. We know that. But one thing that we do have is people. Now, for instance, I could spell you from time to time if I have whatever equipment is needed to do it. I have the experience.
Right, but you don't have the equipment.
Well,
and
you know,
I mean,
maybe I have a little bit of the equipment, you see. I'm just wondering, you know, in the spirit of Occupy Wall Street, what can our bodies pull together? I mean, when I think about you, I think about a guy who needs relief.
Oh, look, it drives me crazy that every time I've got to go to a meeting or something, I've got to just run reruns for 3 or 4 days or something like that. It is absolutely crazy making. John Fox has kindly stepped in and done magnificent fill-in work from time to time, but he's out there trying to keep the lupine pest off of his porch too.
Exactly.
And John is able to do that because he has some technology that comes with us paying the bills every month that allows him to at least take one call at a time.
And our guy in Elgin, is he in Elgin?
Ben, yeah, Ben Birch.
Yeah, Ben, it's like I'm seeing certain things that aren't being, you know, haven't been maintained on his site because he's, I'm not blaming him, I'm saying he's stretched too thin.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been seeing.
Well, I mean, if you want to go at it, Richard, from a systems analysis standpoint, this is all very fragile because this is a system that has absolutely zero redundancy. Zero.
Yep.
And while redundancy may be bad in English grammar, it's awfully good in complicated systems.
Oh, of course. So, you know, the idea I'm just throwing out here is, what can we do, you know? I mean, there's a bunch of people here, and all these bunch of people have different talents and abilities and different amounts of dedication, you know, and different amounts of time and stuff that they can throw in. So, and I have a question for you too. Back when you had, you know, a bunch of programs running on the network,
mm-hmm.
were you running the studio all the time when the other guys were on?
Agnes or me?
Yeah.
That's how the phone calls get through because the phone system is here and there's no way to port a 6-line hunt group to some remote location.
Right.
Believe me, we looked into it, and the bill that was suggested that I pay in order to make it happen, well, it didn't happen. So you know, even when John fills in, he is forced to use a functionality that comes, like I said, with some of the technology we have here. But he can only take one call at a time, which really does put a cramp in anything that calls itself a phone-based call-in program.
But I think, if I remember, Guy James was running his own 800 numbers, right?
Yes, he was. That's part of why Guy is no longer on the air.
Yeah.
Because it became cripplingly expensive.
So Guy had two of those lines, right?
No, I think he had more than two lines.
Oh, okay.
But he had the same phone processor box that we have sitting here. And you know, I'm grateful that you bring this issue up, Richard, simply because it, you know, I'm not going to crawl up on the cross or anything, but there is more than goes into this. I get some emails telling me that, you know, why don't you get one of your neighbors to fill in for you while you're gone? You know, where do you think I live? This is not San Francisco, okay? I don't have a next-door liberal. My next-door liberal is 35 miles away, okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, whether it's the phone system or whether it is the nuts and bolts of connecting to the stream, it's not just a matter of, hey, well, you know what? It sounds like Bob just gets in behind the microphone about 5 minutes before the show, and it's got to be easy, right? I mean, it sounds so easy. He's just talking.
Oh, no way. I've been there.
Three hours, you know, I joke about the filibusters and stuff. If I filibuster for 3 solid hours, and God knows I can do it, it's not a problem, but I think the conversations that come in are more important than me pontificating at people.
Well, that's your model, you know, and it's like the model of the horn.
But three, you know, you finish 3 hours of solid talk. One, you don't have a throat anymore.
And
two,
you're punchy.
Two, you're absolutely wacky.
Yes.
And it's, you know, and that occurs any given night. See, it's about 13 minutes until 9 p.m. here on the East Coast. 9 p.m. is my 5 p.m. So I'll be awake for another 4 or 5 hours before I'll be able to go to sleep. And that makes it really fun during the school year because we get up at 5. Agnes gets up at 5, but I wake up too to get the kids off to school because they have to get on their bus for their hour-long bus ride it's 6 miles from here to the high school, and it takes the school bus an hour to get there.
Sure.
And they do that, you know, so they got to get up at 5 to be ready and get on the bus at 6 to get at school at 7. And, you know, she's the hero in that. But there's a lot that goes into it, and there's a lot that it takes to make it go. I mean, we will be doing a remote, I'll get to see Guy James, as a matter of fact, and Rick Smith. We will be in D.C. in the third week of January. And that'll be a matter of renting a car, fueling it for the trip there and back, and taking an absolute horse-gagging load of equipment with us. And it'll be, you know, and it'll just be, you know, it'll be me and Guy and Rick, and between the three of us, if we can't get it going, it don't go. I mean, I see these other operations out there that have all this fun, employees and stuff. And you know, it was always my dream, our dream, not my dream, Wayne's dream, my dream, John's dream, Ben's dream, that we build something here that becomes much larger than its origins. And for a while, we were able to do it. But, you know, Agnes was in the, you know, that question you asked a little bit ago. Either Agnes was in the chair or I was in the chair. And it could extend to 11, 12, 13, 14 hours a day. And it just about knocked us both out.
So I'm going to throw out something pretty wild now, as I see it. You can't do this all by yourself. And
no, I can't. If it wasn't for folks like Lottie and Sparky who moderate the chat room, Susan gets my show post up every evening. News Ninja Gene reads the entire internet every day and just points me in directions that he thinks that I'd like to go. Texas Betsy is out there blogging and fact checking me, and she's our you know, my personal grammar guru. And our, you know, she's the official designated Horns Jewish mother. you know, Reverbo just picks these things out of the air. David in Tennessee keeps me, keeps my mind constantly hopping. David from Maine. You would not believe. I shouldn't say that because you obviously do get what goes into this. And it is, it's monumental. If we could pay everyone for what they're doing, let's put it this way, during the heyday of Air America, it was hemorrhaging something like $80,000 a day. And on what it took them to go a week, everybody who volunteers at the Horn could have been very, very happy with, you know, modest salaries that would have all kept us afloat, and Joe Vecchio would still be on the air, and maybe Peter Godbold would still be on the air, and God knows, Guy James would still be on the air. But, you know, you can throw $80,000 a day down a rat hole like Air America, but on the other hand, you know what? We have a dedicated, amazing core of people who are willing to keep this going, and they're not limousine liberals, and they don't have lobster for lunch. And you're absolutely right, Richard. They struggle for everything that they send in. And it is the most empowering and humbling at the same time experience that I have ever known.
Oh, indeed. I mean, we don't have a George Soros.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Well, you know, whatever good he has to offer. My hopes aren't very high. But, I mean, how can we deploy the resources that we have to make it go? Because don't forget that at the beginning, Bob, you had to deploy the resources that you had. You had to push the technical envelope really far. And your people had to develop the technology that's making this go. I don't think
we developed anything per se, but with the brains of amazing genius people like Ben Birch, we took technology as it existed and made it do things that maybe it wasn't designed to do.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, it's like the Unix language or Linux. You know, it's open ended. You take a command over here, and you pipe out the output to something else, and it does something else, and then the output goes to something else, and it does something else. You cobble this whole thing together, and the cobblers are tired.
Yes.
And that's what I'm looking at. And so what I'm asking is, how can more cobblers, you know, fresher cobblers be brought in to build on what, you know, on what got created in the first place?
And that's a hard question to answer, because first of all, it's exhausting. You're right.
Of course.
And when nobody's getting a check, and that includes me, when nobody's getting a check, it makes it hard to go day in and day out, and it is incredibly difficult when you don't feel like it to get in behind the microphone.
I know.
You know, you'd rather, you know, and yeah, I played hooky for my son's birthday on Monday. And some might say that's unprofessional. But
we don't have much time left now. I just wanted to say, you know, technically I can't offer very much. I'm like Peter Godbold in the sense that I have telephone line problems.
Oh, so they plagued him.
Huh?
They plagued him.
Well, I'm at the very end of the usable distance for DSL where I live, and I go over and over and over my telephone lines constantly, rewiring in the house, redoing the connections, putting preservative on them, sleuthing down, you know,
gremlins.
Gremlins, yeah. I'm on the phone company's ass all the time. You know, they send guys out here, they go up on the pole, and you know, and my ISP is another company, so, you know, everybody's pointing the finger at the other guy. And,
which, frankly, you know, they love, because that means no one has to take responsibility.
Well, my ISP is a great little company, and, you know, they can lean on the telco. They have enough business, so, you know, if I call up the telco and I say, yeah, and they go, wah, you know, it's the other guys. But my ISP can get on their case and get some action, but still my service is kind of iffy, and you know, it's like, and my, when I try to get to the head on radio site, if I use Firefox, I get a screen, and if I use Internet Explorer, I get a totally different screen, and they're both coming in to headonradionetwork.com, if you can believe that.
That's strange.
And I have seen the word side door once, and I don't see the word side door on any of the screens I can get at. So, you know, that's what I'm experiencing. This is part of what I'm saying. You know, John Fox is, I think, he's stretched further than he can go. And I'm just saying, you know, when I, my experience on my end of it, we don't have good backward compatibility. We must have some web people out in our audience who could kick in.
Well, then that's the problem. It's hard to administer something on one side. When you do get into one of those situations where you've got several cooks stirring the stew,
yeah,
things can get bad in a hurry.
Well, that's,
but I do have a general
for the troops, you know.
Yeah. I do have to roll here, but you brought up some great ideas, and I really thank you for just sort of maybe increasing folks' awareness of what this effort is about, because you've been listening for a very, very long time, Richard, and so you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what it has been. You know what it can do.
Well, I'm,
and you get a sense for where we are.
I'm a veteran audio guy, you know, and among other things. Had a lot of hats in my life, and you know, I just can imagine just the sheer sweat that has gone into this.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I mean, frankly, there would be commercials on the horn if we had a professional media salesperson out there talking to, you know, oh look, you know, let's go talk to Volkswagen and get them to advertise because this is, you know, because we love their diesel and it's clean diesel and yada yada yada. Let's sell ads to Toyota and help them push the Prius or any number of things. You know, we've got a sponsor in the form of our dear friends at BubbleGenius.com.
Bubble Genius, yeah.
And that's awesome
that's
soap. You know, how cool is it to be able to scrub your hide with something that you know is vegan friendly and be non-corporate?
Well, that's a whole nother conversation.
Exactly, and I got to get out of here, Richard.
All right. That's to everybody and you too.
Thank you, Richard. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Bye-bye. Richard has been listening for a very long time. Just got an email in from Kate. She says, I'm home. As of today, I am officially not Kate on the Desert. I've moved out and away, got home this afternoon. The truck is unloaded. My books, art, music, and pictures are all sitting in the middle of the room. I feel as if I'm really home this evening, back in Montana. To paraphrase the song about women in Biloxi, I want the police to shoot me if I ever try to leave Montana again. She says, I've spent a month without Verizon connection and no horn out there on the desert. I'm back online and even more enthusiastic about keeping the horn mic hot. I'm sending some extra for two or three folks who don't have it this month. It's good to be back on the Front Range where we have no snow. She adds as a P.S., I would encourage everyone who's on Social Security to add their extra money to the horn. We finally got an increase. I just opened this month's worth of mail and saw that I have enough to offer some extra. Suggestion coming in from Isaac for Richard. Tell Richard to use Chrome. Nobody uses Firefox anymore. Jan writing says, around here the banks were closed on Monday the 26th, so if you take a day off, it should not be apologized for. And Jerry and I have never found you to act unprofessional, ever. Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Jan. Thank all of you, because you met John's challenge and a little bit more. And that means that we're a little closer to the $390 or so dollars we needed to raise tonight, $390 tomorrow night, and $390 on Friday. And that would actually close out December.